97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight on this Wednesday. No beers with Bob. It's you and I and Dan Fritz until 10 o'clock this evening following the Mike Missanelli show. So we have no games going on locally. The Birds played on Tuesday night. Sixers off until tomorrow. Flyers on their Olympic break. And nothing happening there overall. So we have a lot to catch up on with the Washington-Philadelphia game from Tuesday night, the 27-17 victory. Get into a lot there. Some updates with the Philadelphia 76ers and the NBA overall. And checking in on the Eagles as we discuss here the game, the latest on the head coach as well. But we get into all of that as we go along. Have a little fun with the side topic as well on this Wednesday. We inch closer and closer to Christmas this weekend, Saturday. So should be a fun time here with you tonight as we discuss this football team and their win. And as I look at it, of course, being able to come on last night, get the immediate reaction from folks leaving the Lincoln Financial Field area. Of course, everyone who was at home watching and decided to call in to discuss a win. A win is a win is a win. And that's what you think, right? Well, I wanted to go off of something that was said last night, something that I heard a little bit on the station today, and certainly during the Mike Missanelli show where Mike, Ty, and Jen were talking about it. It was the fact that, sure, I do want to do a reaction type of show, of course, and what you saw, and it's Wednesday, and we're already getting ready to turn the page tomorrow, and certainly on Friday to the New York Giants, but the fact that they win the game 27-17, looking rusty, having been off 16 days because of the bye week and then the extended time because of Washington dealing with so many COVID issues that they had, the game being pushed to Tuesday, as we all know. But seeing how it played out, rough first half, they get the score going into halftime to tie it up 10-10, and coming out in the second half, and yes, Washington did score a touchdown later, but it was pretty much a done deal. I know it got to 20-17, but in the end, it looked like the Eagles were going to win the game. The quarterback played well. Defensively, they did more than enough against an inexperienced Garrett Gilbert at quarterback for the Washington football team, and the Eagles did their job. But last night, we got a call talking about the defense not playing well enough, the defensive front not playing well enough, and the quarterback, which I've heard a lot, and certainly during Mike's show, the quarterback did not play well enough either. And look, the guy made his mistakes in the first half. The fumble that got him chewed out by the head coach, we all saw it on television in live moment right there in the moment as it was happening. We saw it happen with Nick Sirianni chewing out Jalen Hurts, as he should, for carrying the football very loose and, of course, turning over the football, giving them an opportunity to put points on the board. It wasn't 7, it was 3, but it did happen. Frustrating moment, of course, for the Eagles, because at that point, even you, I'm sure, watching the game, whether you were at the stadium, at home, wherever you were, and paying attention to the game, you already had the one fluke play off of Goddard's foot to Landon Collins. They go in, Antonio Gibson takes a 7-0 lead. Then you get the next turnover. Collins brings it back to midfield. They get some nice plays down the field in order to get them back into scoring territory. No touchdown, but they get the three to make it 10-0. We're all frustrated. We're all pointing fingers at Goddard for being silly, at Jalen Hurts for being loose with the football, Nick Sirianni for not running the football 85 times instead of throwing the football, or not starting Gardner Minshew. Whatever reason it was, we were frustrated. We were right to be frustrated in what took place in the first half. And by the way, we'll get to the running back later, who had a great game yesterday, but we will get to him. You know, it's been a pet peeve of mine over the last couple of years with him, and we will talk about that. But in the second half, the man played really well. He was overall 20 for 26, 296, one touchdown, the one interception that wasn't his pick. That was a catchable ball. It was a sure catch reception by Dallas Goedert. He dropped it. It kicks off the heel of his foot, goes into Landon Collins' hands, interception. That wasn't his. Sacked 3 times, only one I put on him for stepping up in the pocket instead of standing in the pocket, seeing how things played out down the field, then retreating left or right and getting the extra yards instead of stepping up into the pressure, which was a sack at that point. Yes, I complained about two footballs that he threw yesterday as well. I'm allowed. He didn't play a perfect game. He played a pretty good game, especially after he settled down after that fumble. So I don't understand where, again, people were coming in and right away after the game where he played well, they put up 27 points on the team. They had to rebound after a 10-0 deficit. Being off for 16 days, the team, he was off longer because he missed time due to that high ankle sprain. He had something to prove coming off of arguably his worst game of his career against the Giants before he went down with that high ankle sprain and Gardner Minshew beats the Jets the following week. Why are we complaining about him not playing a good game yesterday? He played a good game yesterday. Arguably one of his best after that fumble, which was early in the game. Yes, again, the Devontae Smith catch, which was like 26 yards down the right sideline, 28 yards down the right sideline, where he had to make a great catch, great toe tap, great concentration in order for that to be overturned after Nick Sirianni challenged. Great catch by him. Good throw. Not a great throw because I thought he let him too much out of bounds, and you can say he put it on his hands, he gave him an opportunity to catch and all that. Yeah, he also could have probably put it on the numbers when we talk about him moving to his right and throwing on the move, where he's pretty accurate with that. I didn't think that was a great ball. He caught it, all good. He settled in later on. He had a great throw to Smith later, another great throw to Goddard, not the one down the left sideline. I actually thought he left that one pretty short, but he had another great throw to Dallas Goddard in the middle of the field. He did a nice job. Oh, the other one that I had a problem with, when he tried to force it to Devontae Smith in the back of the end zone on the right side, double coverage, instead not hitting Kenneth Gainwell on the slant right underneath for a sure reception and possibly even the score on third down right there where they had an opportunity to get into the end zone. Other than that, where was the problem? The running game was great. Another 200 yards from your backs, add the 38 to 238 from Hurts on his 8 carries. His 2 scores, which made him the all-time quarterback leader in a single season with 10 rushing touchdowns. Where's the problem with Jalen Hurts with what he did yesterday? He's coming off a high ankle sprain, and I think the thing that impressed me the most after he settled down was this. We've talked about the running game being the running game and how good it has been. It's the identity now, with the toughness that the head coach likes to say is the identity. Fine. The running game is the identity of the offense. With the toughness that has helped change things offensively with what they're able to do. How great the offensive line is playing. How really good they look. Then you talk about, again, the offense overall humming because of them finally figuring out that the run game is the way to go for this football team. And the one thing that I've been talking about wanting to see more, which I saw last night, was the quarterback having an efficient game with his arm, not using his legs as much while the running game is being successful. So, with his injury, which probably caused him to stay in a pocket a little bit longer, what I saw a little bit more last night in that win over Washington was a quarterback standing in the pocket for the most part, accurate for the most part, aside of a few throws in the pocket as a quarterback yesterday that did not retreat much and use his legs to pick up the yards needed for his football team. And that's something as far as the evaluation goes of Jalen Hurts that I saw. Now, it's not cementing that he's going to be the franchise quarterback later on. And yes, I've already stated that I am comfortable if they decide, because they don't do anything else, Rodgers, Wilson, Watson, and certainly not taking a quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft in April, that I'm good with Jalen Hurts being there for a second year in the offense where he doesn't have to change much there. We already know the running game is good. The offensive line is there as well. Maybe they'll add a veteran wide receiver to go with Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert will be a top 7 tight end coming into the season. He doesn't have to worry about Sirianni mixing Ertz in there with Goddard to make sure that the veteran who's an all-time great here in town is on the field getting his snaps as well. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff except for year number 2 with the quarterback he's familiar with, an offensive structure that he has laid into place this season going into next year, and the quarterback is going to be fine with those other weapons to add on. And what I saw from him last night was a game in which he got chewed out because of that fumble. He He came back, bounced back, and he looked like a quarterback standing in the pocket that we want to see. Did he have 3+ touchdowns through the air? No, he did not. No, he did not. I thought he should have had 2 because I thought Rager should have at least scored. And I also thought the other one he missed on Gainwell, potentially a touchdown right there. That's 3 right there. But overall, I didn't have a problem with what he did last night, aside from those few things that we can pick out with all quarterbacks in the NFL on any given Sunday when they play games Tuesday, Monday, Thursday as well. I don't get the complaints today about the quarterback and the job that he didn't do in a win in which they were down 10 points, partly because of him on the one play. But they came back. They scored 20 consecutive points, and they didn't look back until they needed to, of course, when it was 2017 and they had to put points on the board, and they did so. He was a big part of that. The run game was a big part of that. Jalen Hurts was fine yesterday. And let's remember this, too. Even when I'm complaining about the few things that he did. Dallas Goedert dropped 2 footballs yesterday. 2 easy receptions for Dallas Goedert. Again, a tight end that I just stated is probably a top 7 tight end in the league going into next season with the others that we know their names, Andrews, Waller, certainly Kittle, and Kelsey, as good as those tight ends are around the league. Hockenson as well. He's in the conversation with them, not as high, but more so in that bottom 6-7 range that we discussed. He dropped 2 balls. Those were certainly 2 receptions on Jalen Hurts' mark. His stat line last night would have probably had him at 22-26 and over 300 yards yesterday. So can you guys miss me with all this? Jalen Hurts is a big problem, and you still are evaluating him to be replaced after last night's performance. It's kind of like, you know when, and I think I was listening to, we did it in the post after the game, but it was certainly the next day where Joel Embiid had 41 points against the Celtics, and he was fantastic. He scored the last 9 points, 3 mid-range jumpers, fadeaways, double team, clutch stuff that you see from MVP candidates, which we know Embiid finished 2nd in that race last year. It's kind of like that. When Embiid has a 41-point performance, and you might be frustrated that he doesn't give you consistency like that throughout the entirety of the season, and I get frustrated at times with some of the things that he does too, but I'm not looking to move him or anything like that. But you complain about him after he drops 41 on the Celtics and beat them on the road when they only have 8 players and really only have 5 because you have Isaiah Joe, Aaron Henry, Miles Powell, and I don't even remember who the big man was that came off the bench for them. Charles Bassey that came in. You complain about Joel Embiid after a 41 performance where he plays 40 minutes and they went on the road against the Celtics team that has a few more players that were more ready to go out there and play than they were. That's what we're complaining about. It's similar to that for me. And while I am not sitting here waving pom-poms for Jalen Hurts and saying he must be back next season for the Philadelphia Eagles, what I'm saying is tonight's not the night, or today wasn't the day to do that when you're in a playoff hunt. He is your quarterback going forward. I don't want to hear about Gardner Minshew. And he was 20 for 26, for goodness sake, yesterday. He had 2 drops by Goddard. Yes, I said it already. He missed a few that he should have made. But what I've noticed last night was he stood in the pocket. He was a quarterback. He didn't run out of the pocket and was forced to make plays with his legs. He trusted his instincts. He trusted how things were developing downfield with his receivers, and he hit them when they needed to be hit. Guys, gals, Eagle fans, come on. They're 7-7. They're in the mix. Sure, they should have won a few games, the Giants game in particular, San Francisco in week number 2. I got all of that, but here we are at 7-7. He played well last night. What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, I'm listening to that all day, and some, of course, when Mike, Ty, and Jenna have to deal with that as well during the Mike Mastinelli show from 2 to 6. Folks, what are we doing? Why is this a problem the day after that Jalen Hurts was a problem last night where you didn't see more things from him to have you feel comfortable with what he did, and instead you focused on he's still not the quarterback of the future? I don't get it. Not after last night. It's not saying that he is the quarterback of the future. What was evident was that he played well last night after that turnover, and they won the game, and he played well. Why are we doing this? I want to talk to you about that to start things off. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Wednesday night following Eagles football. Tuesday night football for the Birds. They take on the Washington football teams in 2 weeks, but they have the Giants this coming Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field, 1 o'clock kickoff. And I bet you Jalen Hurts would like to redeem himself from that performance a few weeks ago when they lost to the Giants, arguably his worst game, 13-7 in that matchup in the Meadowlands. So what did you guys see from Jalen Hurts last night? Am I wrong for saying that? I think others are wrong with how they evaluated him from last night, and so much so that we need to now jump to the offseason when we're still talking about a potential playoff spot for them to get into in the NFC with that seventh seed. It looks like it's going to be the seventh seed if they sneak in there. He played well. And let's let him continue to build off of what we see against New York, what we see from him in Washington, where we would expect for them to have the full complement of their players and coaching staff back from COVID in a couple of weeks when they travel up there to take on the Washington, down there to take on the Washington football team. And then we'll also see how we evaluate them against the Dallas Cowboys in a big spot, week 18, where Dallas could be playing for seeding. They could be playing their players that weekend. And by the way, one of the worst losses for the Eagles this season when they went to and traveled to Dallas and took on the Cowboys when they got smacked on that Monday night. Right? Pride. Let's go out there and smack this team down too when they come visit us. Folks, how did you evaluate Jalen Hurts? Am I wrong? I think I'm right. I know I'm right on this one. I've had my issues with him throughout the season, especially early on. Not Tuesday night. He was perfectly fine. Then, this other thing. We'll get to our side topic in the next segment, but I got to say this. I heard Mike say it, heard Ty and Jen talk about it. If you've listened to me, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday, pregame show, all of it, specialty shows, B-West, all of it. I've said I like Miles Sanders as a player. He drives me crazy sometimes on the field like you. He drives you nuts. But here's the other thing that drives me crazy with Miles Sanders. Part of the reason why I was also down on Jalen Reagor, he talks too much. And his social media talk too much. Where he now comes out. He didn't say this when we were doing the postgame show last night. He did it at 2 a.m. And he said the fans need to stop booing the players. See, he comes out, he has an 18-carry game, 131. He was tremendous. He should have also probably picked up an extra 10 yards in that big play down the field, 38, following Kelsey when he went inside instead of staying outside. You can see Kelsey's reaction of, why'd you cut back inside? Nevertheless, I'll focus on the thing that bothered me after the game. Again, he talks too much. This is why I've never really bought in to Miles Sanders, not just because of the on-field stuff. We know how talented he is. I said he should be the number one back when he came back, and he has been, and he's looked really good. Why? What's the point? Why? Why are you doing this? Why? Again, you can't just have a good game, be frustrated, text your people, text your boys, text everybody that you need to text and say, fans, they don't need to be booing us. Why? This is why he drives me crazy. And I have my people who drive me crazy. He drives me crazy. Danny Green drives me crazy. We'll get to him. Seth Curry sometimes drives me crazy. Obviously, Jalen Reagor drives me nuts from time to time as well. They drive me nuts. And I'm sure I drive people crazy as well. But that being said, why, man? Why? You just had a really good game. Team had a solid win. And sure, I understand. I'm saying all that, and the fans were booing. The fans had every right to boo when you come out and you turn the ball over twice, give them a short field, and put 10 points on the board. And the team and the quarterback, they had no business having 10 points on the board over you at that time. But you did, and it happened, and you got booed. And sure, they may boo Reagor as well, who, again, also should have scored down the right sideline instead of taking it down the sideline, cut back inside as the blocking was taking place. Until he puts together consecutive positive plays, sure, the fans are going to react to certain things that he does. They don't understand his talent, it seems like, and I don't get it. They have a PR staff. They tell them all these things. They're here long enough. I know retired players talk to these players and like, look, come on, guys, it's not. Yet and still, he just goes out and does that. I don't get it. Can somebody explain the Miles Sanders thing to me? I know he's a young guy in his 20s. He can't help himself. After a good game, he's got to come out and say this. And then Darius Slay does the same. I'm a big Darius Slay fan. He didn't need to follow up with what he followed up with. Talking about come booing at your job. Come boo me. All right. I focus. I don't do it the way you guys do it in front of 70,000. But we've done shows remotely where there are a lot of people talking to us in our face when they shouldn't be while we're on the air. It's okay. It's all right. I'll get over it. I just focus on what my job is. And kindly tell him, hey, can we talk next break until I'm done? All right, cool. Thanks. All right, 610-632-0975. Why did Jalen Hurts hate on the day after the win? Would he play well? Could have been one of his better games that we've talked about to date. 20 of 26, 296, one touchdown, one interception that wasn't his fault. What's the problem? With you until 10. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the game overall, how great it was, the run game, everything involved with it, what impressed you the most in the game as well. Nick Sirianni has now tested positive for COVID-19, so he has to step away from the team. At the time, he revealed that during his presser. So now we're dealing with that with the Eagles as well. Landon Dickerson already down. We'll see about the head coach and how long he's going to be out. But let's take your phone call, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10 on this Wednesday night. We're recapping the Eagles win last night over the Washington football team right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is 6:30, 97.5 The Fanatic on this Wednesday night. Devon Givens with you. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. While we went to break, as soon as we went to break, we had people just drop off the lines. So, look, we have callers, but I wanted to let you know if you were trying to get in and while the lines were full, people did drop off. If you want to check in as we start off this segment, 25 minutes commercial free, we will be checking in with you here until 10 o'clock. So, again, 610-632-0975. So, let's get to it. Let's talk about the Birds. What was what were your thoughts of the game last night? What stood out to you? And as far as the Jalen Hurts part goes, why do you feel like so many people are coming down on him today after a win in which he played pretty well, all things considered, coming off the time off because of the high ankle sprain, didn't run as much as we were accustomed to, and he stood back there 20 for 26, 296, turned the ball over one time through the air. Yes, he had the fumble, but I don't understand where people are coming down on him after last night's game. Let's go to Kevin in Newcastle to tip things off for us here on this Wednesday night. Kev, happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays to you too, Devon. Hey, look, man, you do a great job, and you know what it is, man. This is the bottom line. The Philadelphia fans are in love with the backup quarterback. Started way back when, whether you had Kevin Cobb for McNabb or A.J. Philly for McNabb or Rodney Pete for Randall. And they had Hurts for Wentz last year. It doesn't matter who they are. They get in love with the backup quarterback. Now, first of all, the young man comes from Alabama and Oklahoma. You don't come from those different colleges, top-of-line colleges, if you don't have that pedigree. Then being coached by your dad, you can put up with your dad's stuff, who's going to be harder on you than anybody. Give the young man a chance. As far as the booze, see, these young millennials, I mean, like 35 on under, they don't get it. Sanders don't get it. Big Play Slay don't get it because he came from Detroit who hadn't won nothing. So they like to say different things. If the fans pay their money, man, as long as they ain't throwing nothing on the athletes or doing ignorant stuff, They got to write the boo.
Yeah, and I actually thought Ty and Mike and Jim, when they were talking about it, that they made the great point. Look, first of all, did they not realize that the fans also had to change their schedules from Sunday to Tuesday?
Well, yeah, no doubt.
First of all, paying the money to get the tickets, readjusting their schedule to make things work, to even come and support you in that game. And if you don't go out there and you put out that performance that you do very early on, they're going to voice their displeasure. And they've both been here long enough to understand that at this point, it should not, at least it should not cause them to then go to social media and voice their displeasure. Just saying, I'm used to it.
And Devon, you know what? You're absolutely right. But guess what? I feel bad for Boston Scott because when it's time, when they call his number, he already felt. Now, that run that you're talking about with Kelce, if that's Boston Scott, he's taking that to the house. Not because he's quicker than Miles Sanders, but he's taking it to the house because he follows his blockers and he know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Miles has yet to break the tackle. He's quicker. But I love when Howard and Boston Scott are just hitting the hole and taking what they got. Now, as far as Rager, to me, first-round pick or not, his bum behind will be on the bench. I'm getting Quez more touches. I'm getting Greg Ward more touches. Anybody more touches except for him. He doesn't excite me back there catching a punch. None of that. Now, last but not least, Devon, is, you know, Danny Green, who has some championship pedigree, but he's here for a cup of coffee. I don't even call the young man by his name no more. I just refer him as number 25.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the season, on an early show with Mr. Kincaid, was saying, well, if fans are coming there, why would you boo number 25 if you know that's going to give them the wrong reaction? You know why, Devon? I'm blessed and highly favored, but I paid 4 stacks for 10 games. So if this guy is not performing, I'm going to boo. That's just who we are here in Philadelphia, man. You got Philly, Boston, L.A., New York. You just can't come to these cities half-heartedly and play any kind of way and think that you want to get away with it. Why you think we love Kelce? Why you think we love J-Ro, who they booed, but J-Ro knew what it was, Utley? You know, all of these people that come here, they love Nick Foles because Nick grinded and won us the Super Bowl. All these people that come here and grind, Lenny Dykstra, it may not win, but the people that come here and grind, Barkley, we love them because they put out. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I hear you, Kev. Listen, thanks for the call again, man. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, baby. Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. Thank you so much, Kev. And yeah, man, I mean, Danny Green, when he said the stuff that he said in the offseason about the fans and all of that, I said it, which is why Tyrone now calls him Daniel, because of the fact that he doubled back. He didn't think he did anything wrong in what he said, and Danny Green was wrong, my opinion. I thought Danny Green was wrong. I said it then, say it again, said it to him, and thought he was wrong. It's what it is. I just don't get it. I really don't get it coming from those players. And sure, you don't want to hear the boos. I know that. So before anyone comes in and says, Devon, no one wants to be booed. I know that. But you've been here a long time. You didn't play well. You should know you didn't play well. They voiced their displeasure. Would you prefer that they just leave and then you have an empty building? No. You know they're there. They're supportive. It happened. It's been done before. It'll be done again. It's not going away. 610-632-0975. And as far as the backup quarterback thing goes, can we put that to rest after last night's performance? Yes, they have 3 more games, and he can drop the ball in these next 3 games or next game where he must be removed, Jalen Hurts, from the Giants game. But until then, he played well. There's no reason for us to even bring up Gardner Minshew's name except for what happened in the past tense. Going forward right now, there's no reason to bring it up. Let's go to the phones. Go to Derek in Philly next with us here on The Fanatic. What's up, Derek?
How you doing, Devon? How you doing tonight?
Pretty good. You?
Listen, I'm a little upset today. You know why? Because I was actually excited about the win. And then I listened to the station. It's just like poisoned me today. Like, why? Why is all these complainers?
I didn't get it. I mean, they played that. Yes. Be upset about before, you know, when it was 10-0. Upset about that. Got it.
Yeah, that's cool. I was upset.
Yeah, absolutely. And you had every right to be. After that, what's to complain about? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
You know what it is? It's like they say, let's be fair with Jalen Hurts. But then when he plays good, nobody wants to talk about it. It's just quiet. It's like, oh, nah, he missed the throw. Like, I could point out something. I'm tired of this station, like, goozing over Josh Allen.
when I seen him stink it up against the Jaguars. And if he was praised for the city, we would rip him too. But everybody wants to praise him. Oh, look, see that one throw? Like, no, I didn't see it because I saw him lose to certain teams that we would, if we lost to the Jaguars, he would have been ripped apart. It hurts. Mm-hmm. And then it's not being fair because he played a very good game. I didn't understand. That was arguably the best game he played this year.
I agree.
In my opinion.
I agree.
As far as a quarterback. And then today is just like, oh, the offensive line was good. And I'm like, oh, you make it about the quarterback when we lose. But when we win, you make it about the team. I don't understand this.
That's the quarterback position, Derek. We know. The most important position in sports. So you know that comes with the territory. But I also know that people here, as far as they go, you know, just fans in general, they're smart people when it comes to the game. And I don't understand why they decided to go that route today after a big win.
And, you know, it's cool, though. At the end of the day, he's going to keep playing good. I believe in him. But I just want to say something about the Jalen Reagor thing. Mm-hmm. About the Miles Sanders seat. He said, "Don't boo. We paid our money.
Bad performance. You voiced your.
We paid our money. And first of all, let's just say the referee make a bad call, and the crowd boo. You gonna tell the crowd, don't boo? The referee's got a hard job. No, you're gonna be booing with them because bad is bad. That's why we see something bad, we're gonna boo."
Yeah, that's it, man. You're going to speak on you. That's the way for you all to speak out about it. And everyone was able to do that last night. Derek, happy holidays, man. Great stuff.
You always too, man.
Good to hear
Take
from
care.
You. You too, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. So just come on. You know, it's what it is. It's not rocket science here. 76ers39 on Twitter said, D, Hurts did his job last night. He had some bad throws, but only 4 incompletions. I'll give him his due. I'm not part of the, quote, my brother's keeper crowd like some callers, but we got it done. I'll give him his due, even if I think he's a subpar player as a starter right now. I've said it before when we were evaluating him that if he does not wind up a starter in this league, he's probably too overqualified as a backup, but at the bottom of the league, as far as a starter would be, at the quarterback position. We'll see if he changes my mind, your mind, everyone's mind who feels that way about Jalen Hurts right now as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's probably a starter based on situation where the Eagles drafted him. They had to move on from their franchise quarterback. They had to make a decision on the quarterback. And oh, by the way, they spent a second round pick, so they're going to give him an opportunity to do so. Will he win that job later on? We will find out. It's going to be up to him to see if he is good enough to actually hold down the spot going forward into the 2022 campaign. First things first, win this next game against the New York Giants. Revenge after the terrible performance that you had a few weeks ago in New York, where you played terribly against that team. Just quickly running the numbers again. 14 of 31 for 129 yards, 3 interceptions in that game where they lost 13-7. We all remember they had an opportunity to win that game. He was a big part of why they did not come away victorious against that Giants team. He is going to want some revenge against his team, so let's see what he does. He likes to say, wash it away and throw it away and move on to the next one. He said he forgot about the game, but he does have a chance to come back and redeem himself against this football team. Well, we'll see. We'll see. He played well last night. I don't see what the problem is. 610-632-0975. Eagles win 27-17. Jalen Hurts was 20 for 26 for 296 through the air. One touchdown, one fumble, one interception. The interception was not his fault. The one fumble was his fault. Thought he should have had at least one more sure touchdown on the Kenneth Gainwell slant where it was third and goal. And instead of trying to force it again to the right corner of the end zone to Devontae Smith, who was double covered, Kenneth Gainwell lining up in the slot, quick slant, boom, at least get to the 1, maybe the 2 yard line. If it doesn't end up into it, wind up being a touchdown, percentages will probably say that Nick Sirianni would have gone for it at that point. Who knows if they would have gotten in, but that was a sure completion, we think, I think, to Kenneth Gainwell in that spot. Other than that, not much to complain about with the work that he did last night against the Washington football team. Let's go to Art in Wilmington next with us here tonight on Wednesday on 97.5 The Fanatic. How you doing, Art?
What's happening, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Man, you got it. You got it, man. You're an underrated brother on the station. Appreciate your what you bring to the table.
Thank you.
No, you got it. I think it was his Hurts' best game, this year by far. You know, he had the fluke interception. You can't blame him for that. The fumble, you can't, get on him for that, which the coach did, which was good to see that. But, I thought he threw the ball well. He read the pocket.
Yep.
I mean, 20 for 26, what is there to argue with that? It's just nothing really. I mean, we got the win. There were some things he can do better, but, he's still growing. And to be honest, I'm not even a Hurts guy like that. But, he threw the ball, in my opinion, pretty well. It's Philly. Listen, we are a hard city. I grew up, I'm in Wilmington now, but I grew up in North Philly. We love hard. We play hard. We just a hard city. And that correlates to my next point with the tweet that Miles Sanders put out. Listen, I work for a company that I'm not going to say the name of, but it's on the sign at the bar in the middle of the sports complex. I get complaints, people not satisfied all the time, but they still have a product. They like the product, right? Mm-hmm. So, we made boo because we expect you to play great. And when you don't play great, we're going to let you know. But it's all love. If you go out there and give your all, we will give it all to you. But we are also going to let you know how we feel. And the players should be able to accept that, and understand that. Listen, it's coming from a standpoint of we want you to do well. So when we know that you have all the abilities to do well and you don't, we're going to get on you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it personal. It is what it is.
Yeah, just as much as they cheer you, they had a moment where they decided to voice their displeasure. It goes hand in hand. It's okay.
It goes hand in hand. It's all right. You had a great game, two back-to-back games over 100 yards. So guess what? We're going to give you love. But if you're out there, half stepping or something like that, just like the other caller said a couple calls ago, the referee makes a bad call. We boo them. So you want to tell us not to boo
100%.
The referee?
100%. Yep.
It is what it is. But that's all I had to say. Listen, accept it for what it is. We're a great sports town. We're very passionate about our teams. We love our teams. We defend our teams against any team in the country. Sometimes when we have no business doing that, but it is what it is.
Quickly, Art, what do you feel about their chances going forward? 7-7, 3 left to go. They're in the thick of things for the playoffs.
I think they got an excellent chance because I got Minnesota losing one of their games coming up. Hopefully, the Dolphins will continue to play well and beat the Saints, on Monday night. And, I definitely see us coming back and playing good against the Giants. Like you said, it's a revenge factor.
Yep.
Hurts, no, he didn't play well. We should have beat that team. I mean, 4 turnovers and we still had a chance to beat that team. So I think it's a revenge factor. To beat Washington again, I think that can be done. And then Dallas, they probably won't even need that game unless it's a situation where they could, have a home field advantage. But I think we got a good chance to make the playoffs in. And, all you got to do is get in. All you got to do is get
sure.
in. Nobody's expecting the Super Bowl. But, if you get in and with the type of team that we have to run the ball, to be physical, anything can happen. Cold weather. If we catch the right team at the right time, we may do something. But, all I wanted to see this year, honestly, was improvement. I think that we can say that the team has improved in certain aspects.
Yeah.
And then there's just baby steps. You build off of this, you set a foundation, and you keep it going, man.
No doubt about it. Art, happy holidays to you, man.
Happy holidays to you, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. And a great point about the officials because we always get on the officials. If there's a bad call whenever we're inside the center for a Flyers or a Sixers game, we hear it. It rains down on them. If you don't like an official's call, we know how that goes, and fans give it to them. They do. And it's warranted a lot of times. Sometimes I think, all right, I don't think that, needed. But it's warranted. It is. And look, the performance was poor yesterday in the first quarter, certainly in parts of the second quarter, until they turned it around. Sure. Absolutely. It's all right to voice your displeasure. It's okay. 610-632-0975. Taking your thoughts on the Eagles' win on Tuesday night football over the Washington football team, 27-17. And trying to figure out why Miles Sanders decided to go on social media again and come at the fans with the fact that they voiced their displeasure. And also just the fact that the Eagles won. And there were so many complaints today as I was listening here on the station. Even last night, I took a phone call, as I mentioned at the top of the show, that had a complaint about the Eagles' defense not being good enough. And it was said that Seth Joyner on the postgame show last night on NBC Sports Philadelphia was upset that Jonathan Gannon did not blitz enough. I didn't have a problem with the defensive game plan. They didn't need to blitz Garrett Gilbert. For what? Sure, put some heat on him. I got it. Bring him from time to time, but you didn't have to. He was taking all short stuff, and that's it. Art in Philly with us next on 97.5 tonight. Art.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm blessed. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you.
Oh, man. I'm like, listen to your callers, previous callers. I agree with everything they say. But I was thinking about the situation we caused the bullying with Rager. We were in New York or upstate when he dropped those balls, right?
Yes, that was against the Giants, yes.
And in that stadium, all I could hear were cheers.
From the New York...
We didn't get a chance to express our feelings until he got home.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand that. Yeah, you're right.
And I think that's I agree with your callers. It's, hey, when you mess up, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. You're always going to be able to pat your chest and say, it's my bad. No, that's over with. We had enough of that.
No, I agree.
I thought that Sanders' comment, he's free to say that, and that's how he feels. But recently, he just got better. I think his tweet should have been more about the offensive line.
I think he should have just simply come out hard if he was going to put anything on social media. Great team win. Appreciate everybody being in the building to support us after the league changed the game.
Absolutely.
Left it at that. That's real easy.
Yes. So that tells me where your mind is. You had a great game, but you use it to think of Rager, your teammate, which is all well and good.
Sure. Support your teammate.
But. You know, think of the offering that got you that 131, so it allowed you to go to the microphone after the game and talk about how great it was. Because it was a team effort. It's always a team effort. You know, my thought was on, was it Gishu?
Minshew.
Yeah, after the two turnovers, not so much the first one, but the second one, I'm looking at you. But he made him disappear. This did play when... Sirianni said, look, enough of this.
Nah, Art, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the phone call. Again, happy holidays to you and yours. Thank you. We'll check in another time. E, you start us off when we get back, so hang tight. We got you first when we get back. 25 minutes commercial free. 610-632-0975. Eagles win 27-17. I thought Jalen Hurts played a really good football game yesterday, arguably one of his best. In his 17 starts as a quarterback for the Birds during his time here from a season ago to current place where he is right now. And I didn't understand where people were coming down on him after that game. It's one thing to come down on him after that Giants game, but last night he played really well. He was 20 of 26, two drops by Goddard. Yes, he missed another where he should have hit Gainwell, and that was pretty much the one that was, you know, you can argue a little bit about maybe another Smith one that he could have completed to him as well. But other than that, he stood in the pocket. He looked like the quarterback that you want to see that does that and then has to retreat because the pressure, the pocket is collapsing. He has to get out of there. Not because of him just deciding to run because he's not reading the progressions and reading what's going on down the field properly. He stood in the pocket and did all that he needed to do as a quarterback. And I didn't understand why people were so upset with him and ready to move on and still already focused on next season when they have a game to play in 4 days against the New York Giants on Sunday. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10, 7 o'clock hour on the other side. E, you start us off when we get back here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, look at that. Coming back.
Frosty the Snowman.
All right.
Was a happy, jolly
Frosty
soul.
The Snowman on this was Wednesday night, 7:02. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you. You know, it's funny. We always say this when the holiday, anything comes by, or the year turns over, and we're like, wow, that was fast. It was really the same amount of time. But it just seemed like, I don't know if we just get lost in certain days, and we get lost in wanting to stay in the warm weather, and we look up and it's Thanksgiving, and or Halloween first, then it's Thanksgiving. Wow, man, Christmas got here fast. Technically, it didn't, but I kind of get where everybody is coming from when you say something like that. So, again, happy holidays to everybody. Just to let everyone know what my schedule is before we get to E, because a lot of things are going to change over the next couple of days and this coming week because of the holiday season. I'm with you until 10 tonight. And then tomorrow, barring any changes with the 76ers game, hosting the Atlanta Hawks, who now have multiple people in health and safety protocols. Danny Green in health and safety protocols. That was announced earlier today that he is now in health and safety protocols. And he's also one who is vaccinated and has a booster, but he's still tested positive. So who knows what's going to happen, but the league is trying to do their best for them. For whatever reason they're doing it, you can say it's money, you can say it's Christmas games coming up on Saturday. They don't want to mess with that with so many star players out. My schedule tomorrow, as of right now, is pregame, 10 minutes before tip-off, 6:50. I don't know that I'll be at the center. That was the plan before. Who knows if that will be the case, where I might just be back here at the studio. And then after, of course, we'll do the post-game for the Sixers, and then we'll go in the post until midnight tomorrow night. But on Friday, Christmas Eve, I'll be filling in for Mike Missanelli, Tyrone, and Jen. I'll be with you from 2 to 6 on Friday, from 2 to 6, right here on the afternoon drive with Mike's in Mike's place while they get ready to take some time off as we get ready for the weekend and Christmas, of course, on Sunday. So, got you covered tomorrow, normal schedule, unless things change. And then I'll be on, I'm sure, after Anthony from, let's say, 7 to 10 or 7 to midnight, whatever it might be. But certainly on Friday, I'll be with you 2 to 6 on Christmas Eve as we close things down here on The Fanatic and wish everyone a happy and healthy Merry Christmas for Saturday. Okay, so that's just my schedule upcoming. And then next week, filling in for Anthony. I'm on middays all week next week, filling in for Anthony Gargano. So get a chance to speak to everyone during the day. I was just telling everyone about my Philly sports trips, as I'll be traveling next Thursday to Brooklyn with Philly Sports Trips, Vince and the great people, as we put together this bus trip to go and watch the Sixers play the Brooklyn Nets next Thursday. So if you want a last-minute trip and you want to jump in with us on this bus trip to Brooklyn, let's have at it. Let's make it a fun one. Let's make a trip of it. Let's do it. Next Thursday, going to Brooklyn. Can't wait to see everybody on the bus trip up to Brooklyn and back, of course, hopefully a win. And I'm sure we'll do our own version of In the Post after the game on the bus as we kind of break the game down overall. As we break now down the game last night against the Birds, 27-17 over the Washington football team. I thought it was a good team win despite the slow start. Good quarterback play from Hurts. And as I said, I was more impressed with the fact that he was 20 of 26 standing in the pocket and not retreating and running as much as we've seen him. 8 for 38. He played well. I saw the quarterback stuff that I wanted to see from him on Tuesday night against the Washington football team. Did you guys see the same thing that I saw? What were your evaluations from the game, your observations from the game? Hurts, the offensive line, the running game, Nick Sirianni, the defensive side of the ball. Nick Sirianni now comes down today and lets us know that he tested positive. He's going to be out for a little bit while he gets himself together because he has tested positive. And we're seeing it all over sports right now. We just talked about Danny Green. So he's now the fourth one in health and safety protocols, along with George Niang, who was first, followed up with Shake Milton, Andre Drummond, now Danny Green. For the Eagles, Landon Dickerson, we found that one out on Monday morning. And now we have Nick Sirianni, the head coach, who was on the sideline last night. So if we are to pay attention to anything that we've seen over this time where we've seen so many players come down with it, coaches come down with it, and all, what we've seen is it has started to trickle, have a trickle-down effect to everyone else. Maybe not the entire locker room, but a good number of people in the locker room where we saw the staff of Washington was hit pretty hard. The players certainly got to a number, I believe, what, over 20 before the Eagles game, which is why they were pushed to Tuesday. So this is where we are, everybody. This is where we are, unfortunately, at this time. Hopefully they can get this together. Like I said, for tomorrow's game against the Sixers and the Atlanta Hawks, I don't know what the NBA is going to do. Now you have four players down. I don't know if George Niang is going to be able to come back. I have to check my notes and see when he went down. But you got to be able to field the people. Are the Atlanta Hawks going to be able to field enough people to play tomorrow as they visit the Philadelphia 76ers? I'll look quickly here, just briefly. Kevin Huerter was added to the list along with Lou Williams and Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot. And then they signed two players to 10-day contracts, including Lance Stephenson. So I guess there will be enough players for the game tomorrow night against the Philadelphia 76ers. All right? All right. 610-632-0975. And you say, why Lance Stephenson to the Hawks? Well, everybody's coming basically out of retirement, signing contracts. And Stephenson spent time with, I believe, Nate McMillan in Indiana, so there's a familiarity there with him as well. Let's go to E in North Philly to start off this 7 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, E?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Oh, man, what's going on? Happy holiday to you and your family.
Thank you, man. You as well to you and yours. Thank you.
All right, that's what's up, man. So the Eagles, man, you know, we had a good win yesterday. Just diagnosing the game and taking it for what it is. I feel like we've been doing pretty good with the coronavirus in our team, and yep. Now it just so happened to hit our coach. So let's just hope it just, you know, it don't really spread like it spread with Washington and all that, because it could just cause some real delays and all that and just, you know, hold up the season. We just want to, you know, get through and do what we got to do and just hope everybody stay healthy with the, you know, with the virus, because I thought everybody take tests often. Like, I don't know if it's every time they come in the arena or not, but you get what I'm saying, Devon? Like, how they just popping up with COVID out the blue? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because one of my best friends, we were talking about this recently when, I think it was like a week ago, when this stuff just started coming day five in one day, right?
Right.
And we're like, wait a minute, what is going on? Where's this coming from when they're being tested?
Y'all take more tests than anybody. That's what I'm saying. And then y'all, you know, y'all go home to your family. So I don't know, man. Like I said, we talk about sports, but the COVID is still a major thing, because I actually haven't got the vaccine yet. I haven't got it. And I'd be wondering, like, how are they coming across it still vaccinated? Like, how are you people, how is everybody still catching it already vaccinated? And and some people that haven't been vaccinated that still haven't caught it, God, you know, God willing, mm-hmm. that I, you know, haven't, you know, contracted it. But it's just all right. But, you know, that's like I said, that's even here or there. Hopefully Sirianni get back to coaching, you know, get himself together so he can get back to coaching in the physical because he's going to be doing everything virtual. That's what he said in his interview. But,
right.
yeah, man, far as Hurts and them, man, he played a good game for his comeback game for not playing as long as he did. It was a lot he needed to show us from him, you know, from the last stinker he put out against New York. So if we look at it, we on short week from the game being played Tuesday. For him to get that game right back, for him to do what he got to do against New York again and get that out of everybody's system like that just with that game, you know, this is this game. And Daniel Jones, I heard he's not starting. They starting somebody else.
He's done for the
so
season. Yeah.
Is there for us, Devon. Like, we don't have no excuses to not give ourselves a shot. And another thing, I remember during the season, before the season started, remember we all was doing our predictions. What did everybody have this, over and under as for the season? Was it 6.5?
Six and a half was, I think, the number. Yeah. Dan Fritz said, yeah, it was 6.5.
Was that and that was Vegas number, too, 6.5. Yeah. We already had 7, so we went over. And my thing is, I wish I would have known because I would have kindly put 500 on our over. We made it seem like we was going to be just straight garbage. And it's like, that's why it's just crazy. They like, so it's like we all, to my point, we all are still, the Eagles as a team are still meeting our expectations. As we can see from our early predictions, we was all giving them 6 wins, 5 wins. Maybe 7. Well, we at 7 with 3 games to go. That we look with. Excuse me. Is it 4 games to go or 3?
3 more. 4. Well, you have the Giants, Washington, and Dallas, and the only one road game. That's Washington.
Yeah, 3 more to go, and still have a chance of getting the playoffs. So we could end up with 10 wins, or you know, maybe even 9. So that's a good season for us. Man, that's a good season.
That is really a good season, and you're absolutely right about that. E, it's a really good season. And I agree with you. The only thing is, of course, when the expectations start to change because you see how things are going, we're probably, as you said, it's a good chance. It could come down to either them getting in or us looking back to that Giants game on the 28th saying that's how they didn't get in.
Right. That's how they didn't get in when it was a game that we clearly could have won.
One game.
Better preparation.
Yep.
Better preparation. We could have took that game, man. Yep. But like I said, as far as the team, we still gelling. The offensive line is still playing well. The defense. It's, you know, they're holding. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say they're playing good or they're playing bad, but they're definitely holding, doing what they got to do. So, you know, just as a team, man, as long as everybody stick together and play together, we might can do something. Our running game is deadly. It's not a game. It was we just doing it, and, it's working this couple weeks. We've been doing it for the past eight weeks. We've had over 175 yards
identity.
A game.
Yep.
So, and with Howard, all he do is fall for it. Like, it's just certain things. Rager, everybody getting themselves together. You get what I'm saying? He played a productive game, and that's all we ask for. We can't complain if you giving us effort and productivity. How can we complain? Everybody talking about it. I heard you saying they talking about us booing. That's what we do as fans. We expect what we expect. Like, that's what I'm saying. We expect for you to work hard or to get that effort. And if you're not giving that effort where we feel like you can get that effort, you're going to hear about it.
Yep.
It don't mean that we hate y'all or we don't appreciate y'all or what y'all do. No, but y'all still got to get that effort. And that's just go.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. E, happy holidays, man. Great to hear from you as always. We'll check in, man. Thanks.
All right, Dick.
All right, you got it, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, just give the effort, which we know you did, but they're all, you know, you're also just simply going to voice your displeasure with how things are playing out on the field. So if there are some lack of production there, then they're going to let you know how they feel about it in the moment as things are playing out. By the way, the Atlanta Hawks are also playing tonight. They're playing the Orlando Magic in Atlanta. So they'll be on the second night of a back-to-back. The Atlanta Hawks will be coming into Philadelphia tomorrow. 610-632-0975 with you until 10. I'm Devon Givens, Dan Fritz producing the show. Let's keep it going. We go to Brian in Middletown checking in with us here. Always good to catch up with you, Brian. How you doing?
Always a pleasure, my brother. You do excellent work, Devon, and look forward to hearing you next week during the midday show.
Thank you.
Hey, look, that was a great call, okay?
Yeah.
That E just gave. I sort of say, hey, E, man, go get the vaccine, my brother, all right? He really sounds like an intelligent caller, man, because I know guys who died of COVID. So, you know, that's just my little girl out there. Hey, listen, I don't have a problem with
you know, some of the players sort of offering some blowback. To me, that's irrelevant. You know, look, we're tough. We're fans. You know, we're going to bring it. And if, you know, Miles Sanders or Wehrig or whoever wants to kind of post something, you know, to me, that's no big deal for me. And
I
don't like it. I agree. I mean, but again, it's so... To me, it won't detract from it's a generational thing.
And look, I say this because, look, you know, I'm a big Kevin Durant fan, and Kevin Durant is very active on social media. Well, he'll clap back at anybody, and I love it because I find it very entertaining. But Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, and it says you've done enough to show us where he's not being disrespectful. He's just coming back at people. And I'm not saying Miles Sanders or even Jalen Reagor are disrespectful in their tweets. You just got here. And while you have just gotten here, you also been here long enough to understand the pulse of the city and the fan base as well. So that's where I'm just simply, hey, do something before you decide to come back at the fans.
That's right. No, you're right about that, Devon. Hey, listen, I want to talk about Jalen Hurts, man. You know, I was so impressed by the grit that he showed last night. And that scene where he's coming off the field after, you know, that dumb fumble, because you got to get rid of the football. That's one of the things you got to, you know, around that red zone area. I thought he learned that in that Giants game. Just throw the damn ball away. Don't hold on too long. But the fact that Sirianni could, you know, kind of yell at him, give him the riot act, and, you know, Hurts didn't turtle up. Hurts didn't try to take it personally. Instead, he responded. To me, man, that showed me something about the head coach and my quarterback. But you know what? You know, I know Gardner Minshew played well the last game, and, you know, he had two unfortunate turnovers. Obviously, the first one was kind of a fluky thing with the interception.
Yeah.
But the fact that he responded the way he did, come on, man. Anyone complaining about a missed throw here or there, they're just sort of looking for ways to kind of detract from this guy.
Yeah, I pointed out the missed throws, but it didn't stop me from giving him the credit for the game that he had, which I thought was really, really good. And that's all I'm asking. Why are we not looking at the performance that was there in front of us after the mistakes made and the few that he also could have made, and looking at the overall totality of what he did and walking away with the win? And the 20 of 26, the fact that Goddard dropped his, he missed Gainwell, and I think he missed Smith on another one. Other than that, I'm looking at it and I'm like, B, he stood in the pocket and played quarterback last night and looked pretty darn good doing it.
Well, because I guess this falls under the category, I guess, confirmation bias. People look for the one or two things to confirm what they, you know, originally had. Their guys don't like Jalen. They don't think he's a, you know, a legitimate quarterback. They're at least one columnist in this city sort of makes that case. So,
well, yeah, you know, he came back and said, well, I guess he made me look stupid.
Okay, I respect that then.
Marcus Hayes did that, yeah.
There you go, okay. And I respect Marcus Hayes. But yeah, if you're going to put some stuff out there like that, and there have been certain callers that try to refer to Jalen as a halfback as opposed to the quarterback that he is, all the while ignoring the fact that someone like Josh Allen can run around like crazy, right, when they still don't question his ability as a quarterback. Look, Hurts is not complete yet. He has room to grow. But at this juncture, man, it's about winning games. So you do whatever you have to do to win these games. He will continue to evolve as a quarterback, certainly moving into next offseason. But again, man, I'm all in, man. I want them to win out. And I see them winning out, actually.
Wow, you think they win out. Okay. I think that game in Washington will be tough, Brian, and we'll see. Well, obviously, we have to wait and see what happens with the Dallas game in Week 18 and how meaningful that will be for them.
No doubt, but this season has really shown that it really doesn't matter. I mean, on any given Sunday, the worst team could take out the best team.
Yep.
And that's not going to be the case with the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's not that great. You know, certainly the Cowboys have more talent. But it's not like the Eagles are a scrub team. They got talent, and that run game is legitimate.
You okay, got it.
So
it really is. What's that? Seven games over 175 yards. First time since the 1985 Chicago Bears team that won the Super Bowl.
Love it. Love it. We just need the defense to play complimentary football.
And so far, the last few weeks, they have. Let's see if they can keep it up. Brian, happy holidays to you, man.
Thank you, my brother. Take care now.
You as well. Thank you, Brian in Middletown, 610-632-0975. And yeah, look, winning out. People feel good. See, this is what I want to hear. You won last night. Sure, everything wasn't perfect. We were all angry together early on. Dan Fritz was upset. I was upset. Tyler Zuli, Matt Manarik was upset. You all were up. Scott, Will, Don, Malcolm, Jim, everybody was upset how the first part of the game was going on. And then they fixed the problems. They turned things around and they walked away with the win. And in that win, you saw your starting quarterback come back, rebound from a poor performance in the beginning, coming off of the high ankle sprain, knowing how poor he was. The second turnover, the boos started coming down, rightfully so. And he came back and played a really good game. As they won that one, 27-17 at home, they did their job. Most importantly, they got the W to stay in the race in the playoff hunt in the NFC for the wild card spot, where they are currently eighth behind the Minnesota Vikings. But they have a chance to potentially get in. Part of last night winning helps you do that. So what's the problem? 610-632-0975. We'll talk with you, Scott, Will, Malcolm, Jim. We have two open phone lines for the first time in the bit. Quick commercial break. We come right back, and I'll get right to you as we continue this phone calls with the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, and the win that they had last night as we get set for the New York Giants on Sunday. We're talking about it on this Wednesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love those jingle bells. Oh, those holiday jingle bells.
And coming with the heat on this Christmas holiday, all the returns there. I do need some Hollis. I need some Christmas in Hollis. I'm just saying. Just want to let you know that as we go along until 10 o'clock tonight, Dan Fritz producing. I'm Devon Givens with you.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Run DMC during the holiday season. I haven't heard at all, and I guess I don't listen to much of music on the radio because I'm always tuned in here. What happened? Where's Let It Snow from Boys to Men? Where's that? I haven't heard that. Is that even in our rotation? I got to talk to Eric about that because, all right, I'm just saying. Come on, man. We got to mix all these things in there. All of them.
I got you.
All right. Where's Let It Snow from Boys to Men? Classic. Come on now. Let me get some of that on tonight, maybe on 2 to 6. Mike Missinelli show on Friday, filling in for the gang. Do it all. Get it all mixed in there. 610-632-0975. Speaking of any given Sunday, as we were just talking to Brian, 30 years ago today, Any Given Sunday was released. That's right. Any Given Sunday, 30 years ago, was released. Absolutely. How about that? 30 years ago, that was, no, pardon me, it is 22 years ago. I said 30, it was 22. I was thinking of something else that was 30. 22 years ago today, Any Given Sunday, with Al Pacino,
I was going to say, there's no way that's 30 years old.
Cameron Diaz.
Good flick.
It's a really good flick. It's a really good flick. It was really on top of a lot of stuff early.
Yeah, it got mixed up. But it's really...
What do you mean it got mixed up?
If memory serves, was that not also released with a couple of other? I'll have to go check to see what else got released at the time. Uh-huh. But when you said mixed up, I thought you meant as far as its release, and it really didn't get the traction that we have it today. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was really saying like how it got mixed up as far as some of the things that were taking place in the movie where they were talking about.
Yeah, the story was all over the place in the beginning.
Yeah, you know, of course, star power is always star power egos. But then, you know, the drugs and all kinds of stuff that are mixed in. They were ahead, you know. 22 years ago, Any Given Sunday, Jamie Foxx, Al Pacino. I never looked at Jamie Foxx's. And I know they said he was an athlete. They said he mentioned how he was a football player back in Texas where he's from. But I don't know. You know, there are things that actors and actresses want to check off on their list, but I didn't see Jamie Foxx as an athlete, like a quarterback playing some professional, you know, whatever. But he did a really good job in that one. He did a really good job. So, yeah, how about that? 22 years ago. 22 years ago. Oh, man. Because of COVID, I think. Oh, man. Look at it, this thing from four hours ago. Oh, man. John Wick, Chapter 4, has been delayed till March 2023. Oh, man. Oh. All because, man. Big John Wick fan. Big John Wick fan. That's one of those movies, you know how you say, you find it anywhere, any spot, when you're going through your channels and you just stop right there. Bang, done. I'm in. John Wick. And now they have him. John Wick is so good. It's on like A&E, and they'll run the marathon all day. There's only three movies, and run it over. Do it again. Run it again.
All right.
Mix it up. Love it. Let's go to Scott in Clifton Heights here tonight on 97.5. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Devon, what's going on?
Oh, Scott, I'm all good, man, except for John Wick is now pushed back to 2023.
Let's go with my favorite movie last night, Any Given Tuesday.
Any Given Tuesday. Any Given Tuesday. How about Joe Webb, Any Given Tuesday, years ago?
Listen, the man, and Devon, you're preaching to the choir with me. The man was 20 for 26. Two balls dropped by Goddard. We had a screen pass that was dropped. And the pass to Devon that was deep, yes, he missed him, but it was right near him. My point is, Matt Stafford went three games in a row with a pick six. Russell Wilson had a three-game stretch of zero TDs, eight interceptions. Any quarterback, if you dissect the game, you're going to find five or six throws they wish they could have had back. The last night, this man came about with the Minshew controversy, with his injury. Yes, the mistakes were obvious. I was screaming at my TV to throw the pass to Gainwell in the end zone.
Oh, you saw that too, huh?
Oh, my God. But come on, Devon. He played a good game. If you're a man that doesn't believe he's our quarterback, yes, there will be. That will play itself out. Just relax. Wait for the game. If you think he's not the man, there will be like another Giants game. Mm-hmm. But don't pick last night. Last night just wasn't the game. I think too many people are watching Red Zone and seeing 6'6 Justin Herbert throwing these lasers. And he's never going to be that. But as he learns, if he gets to see the field better, dissect the action, the game slows down for him, I really think the young man has a chance to be a very good quarterback in this league. Do you agree?
I think that he has a chance, yes. I'm still not locked in that he's the future quarterback, but I am willing still today to give him next season as of right now.
I agree with you, and I want the draft picks not to go to a quarterback. I mean, there's no stud out there. Pickett, there's a couple good ones. But the main thing is, let's just relax. Let's just relax, everybody. Last night wasn't the game. I was like you today. I was like, okay, everybody's in a good mood, little Christmas shopping. Let's hear some positive Eagle talk. And it just wasn't that way.
No, it wasn't. Who said that Pickett was the best? Who is that in the background?
I was looking at, that was Nolan. That's my 12-year-old.
Oh, what's up, Nolan? We appreciate you giving us the quarterback breakdown, the early draft breakdown. Love it. What do you think about Malik Willis, though?
I don't know. Pickett's the best in that draft.
some press, though.
Okay.
Malik's talent on it, but I like Malik. He's talented. I like the kid, Carson Strong, from Nevada.
Yeah.
Who do you like, Devon?
I do like Willis, and here's one of the reasons why with both of you is because just looking at the fact that where's his talent? For him to be able to do what he's doing at that level and still be projected to be a number one pick, not number one pick, but a first round pick in the NFL draft, I would like to see him with some talent and see where that, not only the athleticism that we know about, but also the arm and the arm strength and how it all now projects out to the NFL. So I like Pickett, though. I do. I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah, I like Pickett, too. Yeah. And one last thing, me and my son, we will never listen again if Boys to Men Let It Snow is not played within the next
Thank you,
deal.
Fellas. That's right.
Patience.
Scott, you guys have a great holiday. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it. No doubt about it. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I just want to see, Willis with, and look, Tyler talks about him all the time. He still believes he's the number one prospect at the quarterback position coming into the draft. As of right now, things could change, and we'll see how it all plays out once these individual workouts, the combine, and it all once we get to April. But I want to see him with some talent. Not to say that the Eagles need to draft him. I mean, if it's obvious and you just get sucked in and you love the guy, then you take him. But I want to see him with some talent in the NFL. With all due respect to the players that he's playing with at Liberty, and against there as well, I want to see him. I want to see him with some talent in the NFL. 610-632-0975. We keep it moving. Will next on the cell on 97.5. What's up, Will?
Yo, Devon. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Man, I'm doing great. So I got 2 points. My first point is on Nick Sirianni. I feel like his play calling for the last couple of weeks been pretty good. Like the eye candy.
They have been.
Yeah, showing us like just a little wrinkle in that. It's like was like okay. And then the play he had with the levels with Ertz. I mean, I'm sorry, not Ertz. My fault. Dallas Goedert.
Oh, with the bunch, the bunch to the right where everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. So his eye candy, like his play calling, really been good. How you feel about that?
I thought last night, because we actually had a call last night, Will, multiple calls after the game that said that his play calling wasn't good enough, and that was part of the reason why Washington was still in the game. Well, no, it was a turnover, the fluke one off of Goddard, and of course the fumble. But then they turned it around, and I thought his play calling, his design was pretty good.
Yeah, I feel the same way. My last point is on Hurts. I know a lot of people like really down Hurts, but like, who else do we have? Minshew? Okay, but I'd rather see what Hurts, you know, got. You know, I'd rather build around Hurts. Because yesterday, time and time again, when Washington tried to fight back, Hurts came back and, you know, did what he had to do. I like the fight in him. Really do.
No, I had no issue with what he did. Now, I'm not going to say none because I did point out some things that I didn't like, but it didn't stop me from giving him credit for the overall performance, in which I thought he was really, really good last night, and was no reason for us to be complaining about him today.
Yeah.
I mean,
man,
the game well won, he missed it. I didn't like it, but I hope he goes back, or at least he saw it on that tablet and saw what he missed, and it doesn't happen again. I like the fact that he stood in that pocket, Will, last night and went 20 for 26. And yes, he moved around a little bit and also did some throws on the run, but for the most part, I just thought as a quarterback, where we weren't focused on what he gave them on the ground with his legs, I liked what I saw from him last night.
Yeah, me too. Even that pass to Greg Ward. That was a
great back shoulder throw, man. Great throw, great catch by Ward, which is why we talked about Ward maybe taking some snaps away from Rager, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
I'm sick of Rager, man. Even from the kick returns, punt returns, I'm just sick of Rager.
Yeah, I know. Be careful. His dad might block you on Twitter. Be careful. Be careful. Will, happy holidays, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Sam, you have a good night.
You too, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, his dad is like he's hunting. He hasn't got me yet. I'm sure to pop. I don't say much on Twitter because I don't tweet as much on there. But I do say it, of course, on the air. If somebody got to him and said, "Listen to me," whether it's at night or at the pregame show, I'm sure I'll be blocked. But yeah, he.
And how much sleep will you lose over that?
Absolutely none.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look, he's just not performing well.
Hey, as you said, We're honest. It is what it is.
He knows it. Who was it? I think it was when we were talking to Tim McManus a couple of weeks ago before the game, where Tim said that he understood that, you know, he felt like, well, you know, Jason Avant said it too. He felt like when he joined us, Jason talked about how he felt like he was, you know, a little under pressure because of the anxiety of the whole thing and wanting to put too much pressure on himself, because who doesn't see what Justin Jefferson is doing with the Minnesota Vikings, where he's going to his second consecutive Pro Bowl in his second year in the NFL, and how well he's playing. Who doesn't see it? So, of course, he notices it. If he's a football fan, he sees what's going on, and he knows that Justin Jefferson is tearing the league up. And we are ticked off because it's one of those deals where, again, he's caught in it because he's not performing. It's the same way of, as another example, it wasn't that we didn't like Jalen Hurts. It was that we might have wanted J.K. Dobbins. That's all. It wasn't that Jalen Reagor couldn't play football. It was we had a preference, which was Justin Jefferson. It wasn't that Donovan McNabb wasn't a good quarterback. People had a preference of wanting Ricky Williams in that particular draft. That's where it is right now with Reagor, but he's not helping himself by not performing well enough. He's just not doing anything. 610-632-0975. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by the great people at the Grace Auto Group, Dan and the gang, for low mileage Acuras, Lexus, BMWs, and F-150s. Visit graceautopa.com. That's Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, PA, just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. All right, go check out Dan and the gang. Get a nice gift for a loved one, a car. You're going to the right place right there. Malcolm and Claymont with us next on The Fanatic. What's up, Malcolm?
Yo, D, what's good, man?
What's happening, man?
I can't complain. I just y'all saw Jalen Reagor, man. I just seen this dude at the King of Prussia Mall like last week.
Did you tell him?
No, I don't think he was buying some shoes. I was getting shoes. He was getting shoes at the Legacy store.
Oh, okay.
He looked real light. Like, he looked small and light. I've never seen him in person. So he looks small and light. So I can see why he's not doing as well in the league as they projected him to do.
So if he was listed, I think, at like 5'10", maybe 5'11".
He looks like he's like 5'. I'm going to tell you, he looks like he's like 5'. I mean, I'm 6'2". He looks like he's like 5'8", 5'9".
I could buy that. Yeah.
Only about one. Like, I can't even imagine him being over 180.
He's listed 5'11", 197.
I don't know.
We know it's fudged a little bit. We know.
Yeah. You said 195?
197.
I don't see that weight.
Yeah.
He didn't look. He looked white. He looked real light. But that's neither here nor there.
No, it is. It is here and there because Justin Jefferson is ripping it up at 5'11".
I actually liked Reagor, though. You know, I did too.
It was just
I used to watch Big 12 football, so. He was on fire in Big 12.
I liked him, too. It was just you don't take him over the other guy. That was all. Yeah.
Makes sense. But when it comes with Jalen Hurts, I necessarily don't like running quarterbacks. I got a personal beef with them. When I played football, I feel like running quarterbacks literally is like a one-read quarterback, and then they run. I don't know.
Saw that a lot early from Hurts this season.
But I think I see that a lot in Jalen Hurts. But what I saw yesterday, I think he's getting better. Now, I don't think he's going to be able to command the respect from the Philly media and the Philly fans just based off of the stigma that's attached to him possibly flaming out when he was at Alabama. And just the whole Philly, like nationally, they love Jalen Hurts. This Jalen Hurts guy, if you watch ESPN or NFL Network, this guy gets raved.
Yeah.
I listen to this station all day. They're digging. They're looking for new holes to dig to throw Jalen Hurts in.
I thought he looked pretty good last night. And I don't care about what the national people say because they'll go up and down. Like, we had one the other day. Malcolm, I know you want to get to the Sixers as well, where the guy on FS1, just to be who he is, wants to talk about Joel Embiid being better than Jokic. Many people say he's better than Jokic. So that's not, you know what I'm saying? We don't need that. So, you know what I mean? And look, that's no knock on Jokic because Jokic is fantastic. It's just...
Right. And one last thing about Jalen Hurts. I was trying to figure out, like, what's his ceiling and what's his floor. I feel like if he could just be, like, as good as Tannehill, I look at him as a success.
So we had a call last night stating that you can't win in the NFL like the Eagles are doing right now. And I was like, wait a minute. You can. And I think it was Adam in Germantown. We talked about it. And he was like, you know what? At the end, that was, you know, good points because we started talking about how, sure, Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. He's different. But Tannehill with Derrick Henry. Now Carson Wentz with Jonathan Taylor with how he's playing. And
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All you got to do is not turn the football
over. Don't turn the football over. And we know you can pick up yards with your legs as well if things fall short. As much as you may not like it, we know that there are some positives behind it.
That's what I'm saying. I appreciate you agreeing with that.
Yeah. Now, Sixers, right, what you got?
And on the Sixers, I was saying, realistically, because I know you are really big in debt when it comes with basketball, realistically, take off those huge names. We're not going to say those huge superstars that we would want back for Ben. Who could they possibly trade for him so we can elevate our team?
So, Mal, you know me, as you said, and I've said all along, I never thought that they would get what people thought you would get for Ben Simmons. So my thing was always, okay, CJ McCollum, if Sacramento used their heads and decided to come off of De'Aaron Fox, the DeJounte Murray, Derek White combo that was brought up before.
What about Garland from Cleveland?
I think they want to build around him with Evan Mobley. That was
I like that guy. So
yeah, that was one that could have gotten done in the offseason, but they're the number three seed in the Eastern Conference, and he's playing really well. So they're not going to come off of Darius Garland now. You might be able to get Colin Sexton, but you're not going to get Darius Garland.
They already got Maxie. He looked very similar to Sexton.
Yeah, so
it's not better.
Yeah, so you're going to have to probably come up and get something else. So the Murray thing, I was always intrigued. And in the end, I was like, okay, I would do it, but I needed Keldon Johnson or Derek White and a pick. I don't know that DeJounte Murray is going to be on the trade market now because Malky's playing fantastic for San Antonio.
Yeah, man. I just think they got to do something because it's worthless. It's worth, even though the guy's not getting paid, the money's not my money, so I don't care if he get paid or not. I just feel like it's hurting. I can't even watch some of the games. I'm just not interested.
I need you
get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're not going to take a bus trip up to Brooklyn with us next Thursday. All right, I got
you. Nah, man. It's just, you know.
I know.
I've been out for a while, man, and I want to see good basketball, winning basketball. And I feel like we got a player who can help win.
I know.
Sitting at home.
I agree. And most of that is on him. Most of that is on him, for sure. Mal, happy holidays, man.
Hey, man, appreciate it, man. Stay blessed.
You too. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. Look, and Jim wants to talk about this, too. And we'll get Jim. Jim, hang on. We're going to bring you up on the other side, give you all your time, because we are going to go to break. And we got Stan, Don, Isaac, two open phone lines for the first time in a bit, 610-632-0975. Look, you got a guy who can play basketball and help this team out right now. He's deciding not to play. The one thing in the discussions of trades with Ben Simmons, the Sixers have said, we want him back on the floor, but if he wants out, we're still going to try to give him what he wants and move on and try to find a trade for him. But we still want him on the floor for the time being. It's happened many times in the NBA, in the NFL, in Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, where players have wanted out, but they did their job and came and played basketball, football, baseball, and hockey. He's not doing his job right now. I think Mike says he just flat out decided to sabotage the team. They're still going to make the playoffs. They're good enough to do that. How far will they go? That's up in the air. Part of it is because he's not on the floor. We all are very aware of how good of a player he is. We have certain levels of how good of a player we think he is individually, but we do know he would help this team win basketball games. He's deciding not to play basketball. Jim, you are first when we get back. Don, Stan, Isaac, and again, two open phone lines when everyone wants to check in. When we come back, 25 minutes commercial free as we talk Birds. Mix in a little Sixers. Danny Green now in the health and safety protocol. That's another. That's the fourth for the Sixers as they get ready to host the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night at the Center. 7 o'clock tip right here on 97.5. The Fanatic Bar in the game is played. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:50. I'll have you covered on that. So we'll talk a little hoops with Jim when we get back. Eagles with everyone else. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Wednesday night here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There it is. There it is. Did it right. Little Brian McKnight with the boys. Huh? There you go. That was mine, yeah. Yeah. Hey. Whew. It's another Christmas holiday. There you go. Let us know. See, perfect. Thank you, Dan Fritz. That wasn't difficult. That wasn't difficult at all.
Ask and ye shall receive.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. That's the first time I've heard it all season. All
now,
Christmas
I will
season.
Say this. I had a little bit forgotten about it.
See?
And then coming through tonight, it was already sitting here. You actually timed it perfectly asking for it. It was already sitting here for the break.
It was in the system?
It was in the system that I was rotating through.
So Eric put it in there?
No.
Oh, you had to pull it up and manually
I was pulling it up.
So yeah,
and
I gotta get it in. I got to get on Eric.
So.
Yeah, I know he's got a lot going on.
Forgotten about that song. That's beautiful.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on, but that's a no-no. Got to put the Let It Snow. Got to mix it in. Brian McKnight. Thank you, Dan, with the boys, Boys to Men. 610-632-0975. Can we give a shout out quickly here to the champions of the G League showcase in Vegas? The Delaware Bluecoats took it down. And the MVP, Jaron Cumberland. And his 24-8-6 with 5 3-pointers led the Bluecoats to the AT&T or ATT Winter Showcase title, and that earned him the championship's most valuable player award for the Delaware Bluecoats. So congrats to the affiliate of the Philadelphia 76ers. My folks, you know that, the Delaware Bluecoats, for taking the Winter Showcase in Vegas. Congratulations to them. Job well done by the Delaware Bluecoats, the group. All right. 610-632-0975. Joe Lane asks, because I am a big John Wick fan. Joe, I'm not a big Matrix person, but I know the fourth one was just released. Is that number 4?
Coming up, Resurrections.
Yeah, it's coming up on the 20th, today, right? 22nd. Yeah, I thought it was today.
Tomorrow.
I thought it was today. Hold Maybe on. I'm wrong. But anyway, The Matrix. No, I haven't been in it, Joe. But I said I was going to do it over. I was going to watch it again. I've never been a big Matrix person. Is it today or tomorrow?
Still looking.
Okay. All right, my bad. Yeah. My bad. But no, I was never. No, it is today. In theaters and on HBO Max today. So, all right. I mean, look, I said I would give it a shot. I'm a big Keanu Reeves, John Wick person. I've liked some of the things he's done in the past. Clearly, Speed and, you know, some other things that he's done. I'll check it out again. I'll give it a look again. Never been a big Matrix person. I know that there are people who are big Matrix people. Do you have a favorite? Are you a Keanu Reeves fan, Dan, in general?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite of what he has done?
I do like the Matrix movies.
Okay.
Liked him in the beginning, and like when he did Speed. He has quickly turned into an actor that he's one of those that's never turned in a bad performance. So I honestly can't think of anything bad, but I kind of lean towards the Matrix. Have started watching the John Wick movies, getting more into that. So I he's going to be one I could watch him read a phone book, and I'd be entertained for a couple hours.
Bill and Ted?
Okay, let me take that back.
people like that movie, though.
No, that was good for what it was.
Okay. People
that was good for what it was, what his character was. So, yes, as far as his acting, that was good. Point Break, spot on. Okay. So,
all right, Devil's Advocate, he was great in. The Replacements, I love that movie.
The Replacements.
I didn't know if he was a quarterback, but he was a quarterback.
He was a quarterback.
He was.
And the more I watched The Replacements, I wonder if that was more, if the writing was a little better, it might have been a little better. But, I mean, all in all, I like The Replacements.
Okay.
Especially the bar fight scene. Where one player that's deaf goes and hands it, and then he reads it and he goes, hey, you can't hear the bleep bleeps. And then it starts.
Then it goes. It goes from there. 610-632-0975. Great stuff. Big John Wick fan. Never a big Matrix guy, but I will. I apologize. I will get it. I will get back into it. Was the Pro Bowl announced?
Just announced.
What you got?
Jason Kelce.
Only? No Darius Slay?
And Darius Slay.
Oh, okay. I was going to try to tease
a little bit, but you jumped.
All right. So we got the Rockin' Moroccan asking Pro Bowl announced. Who made it from the Eagles? Jason Kelce, Darius Slay. Those are your two Pro Bowlers. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Love it. Beautiful. Let's do it. Let's go to Jim in Philly next here on The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
How are you? How's your family?
Oh, the family's doing well. Thank you, man.
Yeah. You know, you talk about Keanu Reeves because you're talking to a former actor now.
Jim, we've talked about this before. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I spent 11 years in Hollywood, yeah. I got to tell you, one of my favorite films was he and Sandra Bullock. And neither of your young fellow you were talking to mentioned it.
I said Speed.
The Lake House.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's a wonderful movie. Okay. If you've never seen it, I would say watch it. You and your wife watch it together.
What's this one called?
The Lake House.
Okay.
It was made in 2006, I think. It's a wonderful movie.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I won't say anything about it. It's very different. It's kind of a fantasy, but it's it involves a transition of time. But for some reason, it stayed with me all these years, you know.
I'll write that one.
You know, before I was going to talk basketball with you, I would say this to you, that I agree. I back your action on the Eagles. I think that Hurts has a lot of promise. I think that people are too impatient, and they don't seem to realize what an intricate position the QB is. And really, they should use all those draft picks they have to fill a lot of the holes on defense. They need an edge rusher. They could use another defensive lineman. They need a linebacker. They could use a corner. That other guy, Nelson, I don't like his game.
I like Nelson, but he can be replaced because they need to upgrade that one.
Yeah, upgrade. And I don't know about Anthony Harris. He may be an upgrade as well. And they need a guard. They need an offensive guard because it seems like, Brooks and Samalu. They're always hurt, you know. They need a guard, and they're going to need a center too because Kelce, as much as
Dickerson is supposed to take over for him at that spot.
Yeah, but all the more reason why they need a guard because
now you're going to have to move
Samalu and Brooks are just vacant. Listen, Devon, I got some combinations here. I run them by you for Simmons.
Okay.
Some of them are pie in the sky. But it's fun to talk about him anyway. I would, off the top of my head, I like the Kings, if we could get them, but it may be wishful thinking to include Fox and then take Buddy Hield as a role player and maybe a draft pick. I don't know if Daryl Morey would go for that, but if they could do those two plus a draft pick, that would be good. The Pistons, I like Jeremy Grant. I really do. I think he would be a good upgrade at three, but I don't know who else on the team you would take. And the draft picks could be a potential thing. But, you know, I don't know about the money matching up. The other three teams that I have thought about are wishful thinking. I would love to get Jaylen Brown, and I would take Peyton Pritchard. I would take both of them for someone like Simmons, Milton Erthibel, and Korkmaz, if that could work out. Or Toronto, Van Vliet and Ananobi. Yep. I think they would be two good additions. And that's about it. The only other team that I really like also, but I don't think they would do it, is the Hornets. And I would take LaMelo Ball and Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, you're not getting him.
What's that?
You're not getting him, LaMelo Ball.
Well, yeah. So you figure, well, would you settle for someone like Terry Rozier and Kelly Oubre and maybe a draft pick? But I don't think they would part with Oubre.
Yeah.
But the first three or four.
I think they would part with Oubre and Rozier, but I'm just not sure if it would be for Simmons in a situation like that. It might be, but I don't think they have a problem moving on from Rozier or Oubre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you find favor with any of the four teams I mentioned?
So
Kings,
the Detroit
Celtics.
So the Kings, you said Fox
and Heald.
And Heald, okay.
Maybe a draft pick if they could get a draft pick out of them.
Grant and anybody else, as you mentioned, I know that one.
Draft picks, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you talk about Sadiq from Villanova, that would be one that I would want to throw in there, but they won't because he's a young building piece to go with Cade Cunningham as they look to move forward. Killian Hayes potentially as well with the Detroit Pistons. Boston Brown is not going anywhere, in my opinion, at least for another year. I think they would like to at least evaluate Brown another season since you have Stevens taking over in the front office and not Danny Ainge. See how that one goes and see if they can give it another shot with he and Tatum and try to figure out where they want to go from there. Van Vliet and OG Anunoby, those are your two cornerstones with Scottie Barnes. I think they would move on from Pascal Siakam, though.
What happened to him? I don't know what.
He got hurt, but he also just kind of went away, and I don't know. It's one of those. I'm also questioning that one, too, Jim. I'm just questioning that one because he was a really good player the championship year. He made the All-Star team, and it looked like he was ascending. Then all of a sudden, he just kind of went back the other way, and it was confusing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he just didn't like the situation going on in Toronto. He had more of a role because Kawhi left.
He had great intensity.
He did, and I don't know what happened. But, Jim, great stuff, and I'll continue to talk about this as we go along. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Take care, my friend. I hope it's a good coming year for you as well.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Jim.
Take care, Devon.
Thank you. You too, man. Always good to hear from Jim. And the Fox Heald thing, money-wise, you're going to have to add some other stuff because they both make good money. Fox getting the max contract from the Kings. Heald getting close. He's up to 20-plus, somewhere around that number, annually on his four-year deal, signing with the Kings off of his rookie contract. So they will have to throw something else in the mix with Simmons to go to Sacramento. Would they do both? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what Monty McNair is looking to do right now. He does have a relationship with Daryl Morey, working under Morey in Houston. So there is some chemistry there from their time together. They know what each other likes. Would he do it? I don't know. I really don't know. But I've said this. When you are the Sacramento Kings and you have not had any success since the 2000s with Weber, Bibby, Divac, Stojakovic, Christie, Jason Williams also as the point guard as Bibby and Jason Williams traded places. You are not good enough to turn away when things are offered to you that could potentially help your franchise, which is part of the reason why they are still the Sacramento Kings and where they are at this time. Making mistakes like taking Marvin Bagley number two and not Luka Doncic. Stuff like that. So, you might not want Ben Simmons, but you can't say you want Ben Simmons, but I'm not giving up De'Aaron Fox. You can say that, but you would be wrong. You have to give up something to get something, and that's why you are the Kings, because you continually make mistakes like that when you should probably look to make a few changes. Not that Fox isn't good enough. You just haven't built that team the right way. And maybe Simmons would be a better fit out there. More of a draw as well in Sacramento. Detroit, right now, Jim, also, I forgot about this. I thought about it at the moment, but I didn't say it. Jeremy Grant right now is injured. He's going to be out for a couple of more weeks. I don't know how long, but he's going to be out for a bit. Would that play into the Sixers' thinking? I guess not really, because Simmons hasn't played a game yet. So if Grant were to come back to Philadelphia, he just hasn't played a game yet until he finishes his rehab and gets out there on the floor for a playoff run and the playoffs. So would the Sixers be willing to do that? Sure. Here's my question with that, though. Then we'll go to Stan, Kev, Isaac, Rashid. Two open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Can Grant and Harris now play together? Part of the worry with Harris is if another guy is there taking away from some of his shots, is he just out there? I don't know. Would you like Grant as more of a four or more of a three? I know you said, Jim, you would like him at the small forward spot at the three. Is he more productive playing the four versus playing the three out there for the Sixers? And here's the one more thing. Boston, I don't think they're going to move Brown. I mentioned that yet. They're going to play the year out, see how things go with Tatum, see if they maybe get something in the offseason. If they decide to go that route or going into the 2022-23 campaign, they make a decision. Toronto, no way you get Van Vliet or OG Anunoby. Here's the other thing, though, as I mentioned, Jeremy Grant and Tobias Harris. Stan, Isaac, Kev, Rashid, Jim, everybody, Dan Fritz, 610-632-0975. I would not be the least bit surprised if they decided to trade Tobias Harris before we even see a Ben Simmons move. It's nothing that I know. Nothing that I've heard. Just knowing Daryl Morey, how he likes his teams built, the players, which are three-point shooters, players that get and finish layups at the rim, and of course make their free throws, the analytics of today's game. I'm not saying that they are going to do that. Doc Rivers might like him a ton. But if something came their way, in my opinion, with, 3 years left on his contract? Big money, I know. It would not surprise me in the least if they moved Tobias Harris before a Simmons deal even got done. Just saying. 610-632-0975. Again, nothing that I've heard. Talks of people, yes, but hearing that that is happening, no. Just an opinion. Let's go to Stan in Northeast Philly right here with us next on the Fanatic. Stan.
Levon, what's up, buddy?
Yo, Stan.
Listen, I'm doing Birds and Eagles, and now you got me thinking about the Sixers.
Do both. Do both.
All right. Well, let me bring up the Eagles first then. And I was thinking, I was like, you know, the offense seems pretty stable. Like, every piece seems really good. Like, the O-line seems great. Running back situation is amazing. And we got good receivers. The only thing we're missing is the quarterback. And
hold on. Good receivers? I think you have one good receiver, one almost great tight end, and that's it.
And how long have the Eagles had... Well, you know, the early 2000s, we didn't have any receivers. We had trash, you know what I mean?
No, I know. But I just wouldn't say that they're great yet. Because outside of Smith, you still have so many questions.
Correct. But I think we have enough there in the receiver core that we could get by if we had a better quarterback. Now, that's what I'm thinking is, why would we sit there and maybe wait another year with Hurts? I don't think he's the fit. I would use our draft picks to get Russell Wilson.
Okay, and so you would give up all three for Wilson?
I don't know about all three. I don't know what Seattle's going to want. I think that possibly you can get away with giving up two.
I don't know, but they are certainly going to ask for as much as they can get. And when you have the cupboard that you do have of three first-round picks, Stan, you know they're going to ask for them all.
Exactly. But, I mean, and that's negotiations. Yeah, ask for all three. I don't think nobody in the league is going to give them three first-round draft picks. Or you give them two this year, you give them a second or third, however they want to work it out. And I think then it shoots you up dramatically so quick because the O-line's only getting older. They're not. You know, that's my biggest fear. In today's NFL, you can talk about anything you want, but you need the lines. You need a good defensive line and you need a good offensive line to make it anywhere. If you don't have those two things, you're not going to make it.
Well, look, and that's where the conversation comes in, of course, about everything in regards to the quarterback position, giving him the opportunity to finish out the season. But the offseason, no one knows because some things could change with Deshaun Watson and everything that he has going on where he may not have to where he is finally moved. And are the Eagles then in the mix for that? And the Aaron Rodgers part where he says, I don't want to go to Denver. I want to go to Philadelphia. Anything could change, I know. I would certainly listen and see what they ask for. But, man, Russell Wilson, as much as we've loved him, Stan, he does not look good right now.
No, he doesn't. He does not. But I don't know how he would look behind this offensive line. I think he would look a lot better. But then again, he's getting up there in age, and all those hits from being a mobile quarterback are probably catching up with him. So it's definitely a gamble if you were to go down that line.
Yeah, it really is. All right, throw your Sixers point at it, Stan, quickly.
Sure. What do you think about if you were to combine Simmons and Harris together to get a trade?
I think it's hard to trade two people with that kind of money. So it would have to be multiple teams most likely staying involved where one is going to a certain one destination, the other is going to the other city. I don't know that you would be able to put those two in a deal. What team would give you then the same amount of money back in a deal where you would be satisfied as well? So I think it would have to be something where it'd be a multi-team type of situation staying overall.
All right, thank you, Nate. I'll talk to you, buddy.
All right, man. Happy holidays to you. Thank you.
You too, buddy.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. So yeah, that's my opinion on that one. And I just saw something pop up from the NBA where I want to share that on the other side, but not before we speak to Isaac, Kevin, Rashid here tonight. And a couple of open phone lines. Again, we're going until 10 o'clock. So, guys, hang tight. Come right back. We start off with Isaac, Kev, Sheed, and everybody else as we talk birds. And I'll give this latest thing that I'm reading here. I'll read it during the break to make sure it's worthy of discussing and at least sharing with everybody. As we go along until 10 on this Wednesday night, Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gotta let this one breathe too, man. Gotta let it breathe. Classic. Did you put this one in there? See? Gotta talk to Eric again. Great work by you.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dog.
Yes, it was.
When I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Look at his dog. Oh,
little reindeer.
Oh, little reindeer. My man, I was feeling good, the man at a beer.
Love it. Run DMC. Christmas in Hollis. Beautiful. 610-632-0975. The man on the ones and twos, Dan Fritz, giving us back to back. You got Run DMC. You got Boys the Men with Brian McKnight. Let It Snow before that one. Some good stuff. We got the classics. All the classics. And those are classics too. Love it. 610-632-0975. I'll give that story that I was talking about, NBA related, in just a bit. Oh man. All right, but yeah, I'm going to give that one out as we go along, but I got to get to Isaac and Kev and Sheed and everybody here that's been hanging on as we go until 10 o'clock talking some birds. Great conversation here tonight so far. So let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it going. Let's talk to Isaac next here on 97.5. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, man, Devon, man, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, if I don't talk to you again in the year, brother.
Pleasure, all mine. Thank you. Same to you and the family.
That's good, brother. So let me just talk about the game last night, man, and what a game. So in the beginning, I honestly did thought for a team, you know, for our quarterback and Jalen Hurts, who hasn't played in 23 days and a team that hasn't played in 13 days, I think the team was going to come out looking incredibly rusty. You know, the interception wasn't his fault. It was just a fluke interception that just kind of happened, and then he dropped. But, you know, he got grilled out by Nick Sirianni. He got back into it, and he looked like a fantastic quarterback, man. I think he was masterful along with Nick Sirianni and along with the play call. I think it was a really good game plan.
No, I thought so too. I thought the game plan was played out well overall, how Nick Sirianni wanted to do things. And once they got themselves going and got things together and were not turning the ball over, I think we saw it, Isaac. It all came together, and it came together in the right way.
No, I totally agree with
run game
that.
Run game was in the mix. Passing game, again, I can't say it enough of how Jalen Hurts stood in the pocket and did the quarterback part of the game that we wanted to see from him, not just with the rushing, but also, again, just him throwing the football. He was 20 for 26.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And I think maybe, and you know, going back to one more thing, Jason Kelce, man, he's just one of the best centers in the NFL. I mean, this guy hasn't gotten as much love as he should have, but, I mean, the fact that he's able to run faster than Miles Sanders,
man,
in that block was,
he
just,
was moving.
Was incredible.
But did you see when he was ticked off, too, because Miles Sanders went inside and didn't keep it out?
Yeah, well, I guess he was visibly upset.
He was so mad.
Oh, my God. But I mean, you know what? Miles Sanders did apologize during the post-game show about that, though.
I didn't see it because we were on the air. I missed it.
Yeah, he apologized. So he said he noticed that, but he's like, yeah, sorry about that, though. But going back to Jalen Hurts, though, I guess at this point, man, you know, it is very interesting with the dude because, like, I think we still have three more games left, though. But I'm at this point where I do feel comfortable if you want to, I guess, move on. And I wouldn't say he's still the guy because I still think there's a lot of holes too. But I think at the same time, I think in terms of accurate arm strains and abilities, I think there is an option that you can bring him back, you know, let him continue to build chemistry with Goddard and Smith and Rager and all these other players and see what's next step with them too. Because I think with quarterbacks, I know we get all caught up in guys like Herbert and how they have natural arm strength too, though. But you notice that a lot of the better quarterbacks right now that are pro up, they're like in the Hall of Fames, like the soon to be Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. Those guys came in, I'm pretty sure they came into the league with not having the greatest of arm strength and the accuracy to begin with. Is that correct?
Accuracy, yes. Arm strength, some more question. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and again, I'm not putting Jalen Hurts in that category, but what I'm trying to say is maybe you give him a chance to build and learn and get stronger with timing and accuracy, and maybe even develop a little bit of arm strength, and maybe along with his be able to run with his feet, and maybe that he can be able to pass, and, you know, be the quarterback that you need to be able to stand tall in the pocket and make more accurate throws, more than just relying on his feet to escape and make plays. I think, you know, with everybody kind of talking about that you need a quarterback also to be able to throw 200, 300 yards, I think slowly, I think you're starting to see a little bit of this game coming, kind of evolving, that, you know, eventually there may be a quarterback that you can beat you on the ground. You know, again, I'm not saying that though, but you know, the NFL is a game that's constantly evolving, where you're starting to see like different styles of quarterbacks and people adjusting to different styles. So, other than that, you know, I think it's important that you keep those first round picks and see if you can build on the defense, and then you help out with Gannon in that situation. Yeah. And I think you can move forward on that.
As much as we may want the other quarterbacks and all, I'm so intrigued because of those three first round picks to then see how you can improve your defense with those. Keep Hurts year number two in the Sirianni system, and they all work together going forward with the run game, as we know, and all of it, man. I want to see that so badly, Isaac. Well, how they turn things around. with these top draft picks, man. I really do. Listen, thanks, man. Happy holidays to you and the family.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. We'll catch up. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, look, I'm not looking to talk about draft picks and where we want them to go, what to get. We all know most of us want defensive players there. Look, man, I'm curious to see what they wind up with. I really am. Because the defense needs to be improved on. And if they can add three defensive players, at least two of those three first round picks, you're going to get some talent, whether it's an edge rusher, a linebacker, a corner, or a safety. You need each one of those positions. And we can talk about free agency and all. I think that should be a focus of the wide receiver position, a veteran wide receiver coming in. But, man, I want to see defense there. And that's part of the reason why if Hurts is playing well enough, give him another year, run game. You're still going to win games. Defense is now coming together. Make a move the following year if you feel that that's necessary. 610-632-0975. Kevin in Ocean City joining us here tonight. Kev.
Hey, Devon. How's it going?
Going well. How about you?
Good. So I totally agree that us as a fan base, picking today is the day to beat the drum that we need to draft or trade for a quarterback is just almost like self-sabotage to a point. He probably had his best game as a pro last night.
And those were with mistakes in there that
correct.
He still played really well.
And, you know, one of my biggest issues isn't the fact that he, you know, you call him a mobile quarterback or his arm strength, but he isn't. My biggest fear with him is he's not going through his progressions on the field. There are big plays left on the field time and time that are there because he's not going through progressions and he's locked in on his, you know, the first option, the main route. And I know considering how good he played yesterday, it's nitpicking at times, but it's my fear going forward that yesterday on the one first down catch to Goddard, I think it was like 22 yards or whatever it was. Goddard sat down in the middle of the field on a route.
Yeah.
He had Reagor streaking above the safeties.
Right.
But he gets tunnel vision on certain routes. And I get that he gets tunnel vision typically with Smith and Goddard because those are the only two real playmakers.
The reliable ones.
Correct, reliable. That's a good way to put it. And he got tunnel vision with down on the at the goal line when he had Gainwell open, but he wanted Smith in double coverage. My question, and maybe you might know more than, you know, I get a lot of my information from guys, the experts like Brian Baldinger and certain guys that I listen to, and I think that they make good points, but he is not young. He's not 21 years old. He's played at two major programs, and he's an NFL quarterback that doesn't seem to go through his progressions. Is that something that can change moving forward, or is that something that because he's a mobile quarterback, he doesn't maybe go through all of his progressions, and he does? Now, yesterday he did it less. He did stay in the pocket and move around in the pocket.
And look good doing it.
And look good doing it. But can he make the next step of staying in the pocket, moving around in the pocket, and going to his second and third progression?
Right.
I mean, he's not even a check down guy.
No. No. And remember coming out of training camp, Kev, where Sirianni and even Tim McManus, the guys who covered the team, were like, he's hitting the tight ends a lot, both of them, Ertz and Goddard. And when we got to the regular season, we didn't see it.
Mm-mm. That's where my, if you want to call it worry, skepticism, whatever, that's the only thing I question is, you know, he's been a quarterback his whole life. He's played at two major football programs in college. He hasn't, I mean, if you do look at his last 5 years, I think he, in the last five, football seasons he's had four offensive coordinators, mm-hmm. which is difficult because at the end of the day, when you're as mobile as he is, it is easy to just go with what you know. And he's looking for his first read, mm-hmm. and then he's pulling it down when he doesn't have it. Yep. So in a perfect world, we use those three draft picks that you said on building, you know, the in a perfect – you want to see what, maybe a quarterback, edge rusher. Believe it or not, we do have to start looking at another defensive tackle.
Yeah, we talked about that last night too. But because someone mentioned Fletcher Cox. Oh, actually, that was earlier in the show, at the start of the show, worried about Fletcher Cox and how much more they can give you. But when you look at Graham coming back off an Achilles and older, Barnett just being Barnett, and he's probably not going to be here.
Yeah.
And yes, you have Hargreave and Fletcher Cox in the middle, but all you have is Sweat and Kerrigan after that, and Teron Jackson and Malik Milton Williams, who can move around, but you need someone who you can count on the edge. So I would focus on that first, but I'm not ignoring defensive tackle. And you can probably do that in the later rounds and still be effective with that pick.
I guess what I'm saying is, yes, let's build
defense. We agree on that.
Defense.
Right.
Let's bring back Hurts and let's try and see if we can get him to go through his, learn. I mean, the kids had four offensive coordinators in 5 years, and he hasn't had a real training camp in the NFL.
And this would be year number two in the same
off-season.
System. Right.
So I'm not making excuses for him. I would like to see him have a real offseason and see if you can go through this with him to see if he can. I mean, it happened with, I'm not comparing him to Russell Westbrook. I'm simply saying, Russell Wilson. Pardon me. Russell Wilson became a pocket passer. He started going through his progressions. I mean, I just want to give him a chance this offseason and into next year. And I think you'll know after next year. What the move is going
to
be.
We'll know the answer. We should know the answer. No doubt about it. Hey, Kev, happy holidays to you and the family. Thank you so much. Great call.
Thanks, Devon. Take it easy, bro.
All right, take it easy. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Pro Bowlers, again, are out. And the Philadelphia Eagles, as far as the Pro Bowlers go, have Jason Kelce and Darius Slay. No Javon Hargrave. He did not make it. And a little disappointing that he did not make it as far as the Pro Bowlers go. So a little surprised by that, at least with him. There are a lot of good defensive tackles in the league, but surprised that he did not make the Pro Bowl. So let's see if he turns it up again in these final games and helps this team get to where they need to get to, which is the postseason, and possibly make some noise once they're in there as a wild card team. Back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Nick Sirianni, don't forget, if you did not hear, test positive for COVID. He's going to step away for the time being, and just got to step away. Kevin Petullo, the passing game coordinator, will assume head coaching duties in the absence, and offensive coordinator Shane Steichen will call the plays on offense if he cannot coach this weekend against the Giants. All right. All right. Rashid on the cell next here on 97.5. She.
Yo.
What's up, man?
What's up? Dan Orlovsky broke that play down that the last caller was talking about on the 22-yard completion and why that he didn't look at Jalen Reagor. So if you need a breakdown, Dan Orlovsky broke that down.
All right, since I didn't remember, can you tell us what he said quickly?
He basically said because it was zone coverage, they didn't expect you know, the corner to stop right there. So the read is not to Jalen Reagor. He said the read is to Dallas Goedert because he went through his progressions to get to Dallas Goedert. So he basically was saying, yeah, that was a good read, and explain why the read to Jalen Reagor isn't something that you look for, but going to the sideline is something that you bring up. All right, on this look, this is what the corner did. So if that happens again, this is what we need to do.
Okay.
So, but you know, like one, and then one, another good point the last caller made. He never went back to back seasons with the same offensive coordinator. So if you do bring him back, and then with the ability, you know, to bring a veteran wide receiver in, because let's remember that's Jalen Reagor's second game with over 55 yards. He's been in the NFL for 2 years. So. Out of everything that we like to talk about with Jalen Hurts not being accurate, and everything, he only has one viable option on the outside, and that's a rookie wide receiver. So if you bring a veteran in, that will help him out tremendously, and then you could judge him based off that. And then I love to hear people talk about our defense. Yes, I do want younger players on defense, but you know, I'm rewatching the game right now. Our defense is 11th and 12th. Ninth overall, so it's, you know it's definitely things that we need to improve. But you know, before the season, I don't think nobody expected us to be where we're at right now.
Well, you defensively, know, you remember people did because they liked hearing all the buzz that was coming out, Sheem, about Jonathan Gannon and how good he was, a great find, a great add to the coaching staff. So people did expect it to be a little bit better, and then you bring in the veterans. Eric Wilson at the linebacker spot, the corner and the safety, Harris and Nelson and Harris. And people did feel a lot better about the defense. And the way things were going early on, it went the other way. But I thought that over the last couple of weeks, he has shown to have found something and things look a lot better.
And another thing, when the last caller said that we need guards, first of all offensive line is young. If you look at Isaiah Saramato, if you look at, he's a young guard. If you look at our tackles, a young tackle. Before Driscoll got hurt, he was Pro Football Focus 20th rated guard. So, you know, when people call in.
That's true. I forgot about Driscoll.
Yeah, Driscoll. So when people call in, I want them to do their homework to understand exactly, you know, what football is. Like football, especially the quarterback position, you need to learn. And you want to be able to progress. And I can guarantee you this. If Jalen Hurts doesn't get a chance next year, he will be a starting quarterback for an NFL team next year, or if he's not our starting quarterback. You know, this arm strength thing, you know, kills me because, you know, yes, you can get fascinated with Justin Herbert, but they have one more win than us. Yes, you can get fascinated with some of these strong arm quarterbacks, but it's like a dime or a dozen. There's a reason why there's only one Aaron Rodgers, one Tom Brady, or one Justin Herbert, like, and one Patrick Mahomes. They don't come around a lot. You get more guys that have above average arms or average arms, and then you can work around it. To me, I look at Jalen Hurts how I look at Alex Smith without the accuracy, but he's more of a threat running the ball. And we could hope that he could progress as a quarterback to be more accurate. But, you know, a lot of that got to do with talent at the wide receiver position. And that's something that we need to go into the draft and get in the front, that we need to do a free agency. And maybe if you want to bring another tight end in, you know, the potential of Tyree Jackson is huge and everything. But if you want to get an established guy behind Dallas Goedert,
I got it.
Yeah. So you know, I'm a Jalen Hurts supporter just because I understand that having the ability to grow into the position. So I want to bring him back, and I want to, you know, expand on the offense just as well as the defense. Like I want to bring veteran players and that can help him. You know, this is what you need to look for in zone coverage.
Gotcha.
Because like I said before, Jalen Reagor has 289 yards. This has been 14 games. So we want to be critical of Justin Hurts, be critical of the wide receivers, too.
I got you, man. Listen, Sheem, thanks for the call. If we don't speak with you, man, happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Rasheem joining us there, breaking things down. We got Leroy wants to talk a little Sixers. Rob talking some Jalen Hurts, as well as Jay and West Philly as well. We get the 9 o'clock hour underway with those great people and you as well, as we have a few open lines if you want to check in. 610-632-0975. And I will tell you about the other part that I saw during the break that stated some basketball stuff that at least will have the interest of Sixer fans. When we come back, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Dan Frist producing. We're running until 10 right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
75 The Fanatic.
Charlie Brown. Okay. Alright. Christmas. Sleepy and Charlie Brown. Always. That's always. We gotta be careful. We can't say everything is a classic. It's good, certain things, but this is a classic.
This takes me back to the youth. You always watched Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, and there you go.
Yeah, this is a classic. Look at that. That's like a theme song to a great show. I love it. Happy holidays, everybody. A couple of days away from the big day. We know you're out there still shopping. Are you out there shopping tonight, folks, as you listen to us? Are you shopping out there?
I will be tomorrow.
You still doing stuff?
I have just, everything is there. This is just the...
What do you mean everything is there?
No, everything that has been requested is there, minus like one or two little things, not deal breakers.
All right.
So if I find something, I'm good. Have you ever done, Christmas Eve shopping in the stores?
Yes, and I vow not to do it anymore.
I get a phone call one night.
I'm done.
Buddy of mine goes, I need to go pick up something for his now wife. And I'm like, dude, it is Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. Needless to say, we negotiated compensation for me to work this trip.
He needed to run with him.
As he put it, he goes, I need a blocker. You're the only lineman I can get on the phone. That mall was packed. And he's like 6'6".
Yeah, nah. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm done.
Oh, he compensated well. And then as you, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Absolutely done. I mean, even if I wanted to do something, as you said, it's nothing that I need. It's just, I can get this one. You know what I'm saying? I can get this one. But no, I'm not doing that. So if there are folks out there still running around, it's 9 o'clock at night. Play it safe. Play it safe. Everyone be careful out there as you try to navigate through it all. 610-632-0975. And it's funny because we can't say, what are you getting? Because you never know who's listening and you're telling what you're getting.
That's right.
That's the tough part because we would like to know. What are you searching for this late? What are you getting? What are you doing?
Anything that I'm going to the store for is, like you said, nothing I need. Absolute.
It's extra.
But it's extra. But it's something I can pretty much find at any store.
Okay. All right. You got it, man. Appreciate it. Let's go. Before we get to Leroy, Rob, and Jay, I want to tell you real quickly. It was simple. Shams from The Athletic. Shams Charania was talking to Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show. Real simple. Said this. I heard directly from Rich Paul that LeBron James isn't leaving the Lakers. This team just doesn't look like it has the young legs that they need to have, and they have been very active in the trade market. He continues, when you look at a guy like Ben Simmons, they love to get their hands on a guy like him. Jeremy Grant, those are the types of guys that they need on this team. So that is Shams speaking to Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show. We heard it a couple of weeks ago that the Lakers were also now interested in Ben Simmons. No surprise there. Everyone's interested in Ben Simmons. It's just a matter of how much they feel like they can fleece Daryl Morey and Elton Brand in the Sixers front office and that's probably not going to happen. So just wanted to share that since that's out there. If he did wind up in Los Angeles like he would want to, it would have to be a three-team deal, a blockbuster deal, because I want nothing from the Los Angeles Lakers. Russell Westbrook would be the name that everyone talks about being on the move. And while I was interested in the offseason, and while I think he would be better with Embiid than he is there with that team, I don't want him now on this team. No thanks. No thank you. Let's go to Leroy in Southwest Philly next here on the Fanatic. Leroy.
Hey, Devon, how you doing? Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm calling about the Sixers. I had to call. I am so tired of seeing people drive the lane to get free layups and dunks without any hard fouls. There's too many guys in the corner, wide open threes, and it just drives me crazy. And then they don't switch off and communicate. When I was playing ball, you switch. You holler switch over to your next man. But these guys, every time I turn around, somebody's driving the lane for a wide open dunk shot. Embiid can be standing there and just let them go through the line and just, but no fouls at all. Let me send them to the foul line to shoot a foul. In the corner, at least communicate, guys in the corner, too many wide open, last year the same thing, too many wide open threes in the corner. And no communication at all. You get tired of that.
Yeah, you do.
Watching it,
part of it is too, Leroy, is the fact that you don't have many defensive guys on the teams starting. The ones that you do have, of course, are Embiid and Danny Green. Now Matisse Thybulle's been in the lineup quite a bit, so you know he's going to do his job, Embiid as well. I also think this too, even with Andre Drummond there as his backup, he's careful on his fouls because of him not being able to play in the game. So if he's sending a message and throwing guys to the floor and he gets those fouls that start to accumulate to about four or five, he's not out there. He's the best offensive player.
Yeah, remember when Moses played for the Sixers, thou shalt not drive the lane.
Yeah, but Moses also had Doc and Moe and Andrew Toney and all those guys can also clean up offensively, help out, pick up some of the slack. Yeah.
But you just get tired of seeing them just driving the lane and nobody's taking the foul to knock. You just knock them behind. Come on, do something.
No, I know, because I've been big on this, Leroy. I'm with you where I'm like, I want an enforcer on this team. I'm not saying break someone's leg or be the bad boys of Detroit from the 80s and 90s, but just somebody that you know there's some toughness on this team. I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I wanted to talk about, man. You know. Okay.
You got it, man.
Have a holiday to you,
buddy. Same to you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, it's okay to lay somebody out from time to time. There are some easy. We don't see it as much. We don't want anything dangerous where you clip a guy and you take his legs out. Next thing you know, he's falling, breaks his wrists or his busts up his shoulders, elbow, anything like that. Nothing dirty. It's just let them know. Nothing's easy down here. You're not just coming in through the lane and this is sweet. It's not sweet. You take that hit, shrug it off, get up and do it again. That's how it works.
You've seen Crimson Tide, right?
Yes, that I've seen.
Before they board the boat. I like the line.
Gene Hackman, Denzel.
When Gene Hackman goes, "So we're going to go over there and give them a moment of pause." Whenever you have to, like you said, you don't want to lay somebody out. You don't want to hurt somebody. Just make them think about it for a few seconds.
Sending a message. That's all it is. Sending a message. This is why we talk about certain guys coming to the team. You know what they do. It's not just being an enforcer. You hope that they can also play, as they typically can. That's all. Just adding a piece to your team. Nothing more, nothing less. 610-632-0975. Sixers back at it tomorrow. The Atlanta Hawks in town. They have a lot of guys in COVID. Lou Williams, Kevin Huerter, and, oh man, there was a third one. I know Clint Capella was already, I'm not going to say I know. Clint Capella was already on that list. Trae Young was on the list. And they had a third that was also there. They just brought in some people. Reinforcements, Lance Stevenson, longtime NBA player. He's one of them. They play the Sixers tomorrow back here in Philadelphia. They're actually playing right now. Let me do a quick checkup on them. They're trailing the Orlando Magic 63-49 late in the third quarter, where they're down by 15 at this point. And John Collins, Cam Reddish, they're your starters. Cam Reddish has 20. Gorgui Dieng has 8. DeLon Wright, 2. Skylar Mays, nothing. Off the bench, you have Jalen Johnson, the rookie, Lance Stevenson, Bogdanovich is playing. They're missing a lot of people. A lot of people not in the lineup. And they're coming to Philadelphia tomorrow to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. All right? All right, 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Rob is in Minnesota with us here on the Fanatic. What's up, Rob? Yo, Rob. Rob's not ready, so we'll put Rob on hold. We'll go to West Philly, though. Stay a little closer right here. Jay. What's up, Jay? Yo, Jay. Being ready. We'll get to Rob in just a second. Again, quickly, just to let people know, Sixers-Hawks tomorrow back here in Philadelphia as they take the floor against the Atlanta Hawks, who are missing. I'm sorry. I was just trying to get the name quickly here with Herter, Trey Young, and Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot. That's who it was. Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot was the other one that is also out. Let's go back to Rob checking in. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy about the Eagles' win yesterday. You know, indeed. I'm kind of split. Don't know if I want them to make the playoffs so we can get the better draft pick, or do I want to see them go? You know, so.
Hey, at this point, you might as well get in because the Dolphins, who you needed help from, they keep winning. The Colts, who you're probably going to get that pick. It's basically assured you're going to get that pick. They keep winning. So all of it keeps getting pushed back. You might as well just get into the postseason at this point.
Yeah, good point. Hey, so I want to go over a couple things with Jalen. So in the beginning of the season, I noticed, you know, he wasn't that great of a passer. He would just run off, you know, and take off and everything. But one thing I've noticed is he has been progressing. And I hear people talk about, you know, he doesn't have an anticipation. But if I'm correct, everybody who loved Carson Wentz, wasn't that the knock on Carson Wentz that he didn't have an anticipation?
Yeah, so
I remember listening to you guys several times and people talking about he didn't anticipate his throws.
Right.
So, I mean,
if anything,
by the time we were still defending that.
If anything, we're being consistent where both of them didn't anticipate and you got on them about it. Maybe a little too late with Carson Wentz, but you see it right away with Jalen Hurts. And he's gotten better, but you would still like to see some improvement. And look, I said it already.
Definitely.
He played well yesterday.
Definitely want to see some improvement.
Yeah.
Back shoulder pass. How long have we sat around?
Oh,
and
man.
I'm not here to knock Carson, but I'm just trying to put things in perspective. How long did we sit there and hope that Carson Wentz will learn to throw a back shoulder pass?
Long time.
I mean, for real. He never threw the back shoulder pass. You know, it was just one of his things that.
But you also know, too, Rob, the difference is he was a number two overall pick versus Jalen Hurts being a number two pick. And you're going to give those guys more time than you are going to get
and
a second.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you know how many firsts? When we keep talking about getting a quarterback, first of all, I want to say about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson looks a little chubby. He looks like Emmanuel Lewis right now. Seriously, he does. He looks a little chubby and out of form right now. But
out of shape,
when you talk about first round quarterbacks, do you know only like four of them, maybe five or six of them won a Super Bowl, period?
No, I know about that, yeah.
So I don't see the need to draft a quarterback in the first round. It looks like you can get a better quarterback in the second round, or at least if you build the team around the quarterback, you can actually have a better success rate. I mean, there's a lot of guys who we talk about have strong arms. They just don't win. They don't win the games. I like Jalen. One thing I like about Jalen is he puts the time in to study. Everything we knock him on 1 week, the next week, you can actually see he's trying to be better at it.
Is he good enough
from your quarterback?
Yeah, you're right. Is he good enough though? At the end of the day, even with the effort and the trying and all that, is he good enough at the end of the day?
And I agree with you. And I'm not sold on him, but I do feel like you feel with the. I think he should have a next year.
I agree.
See how much he can grow second year in the system.
Yep.
You know, and go from there.
Yeah, and again, I was encouraged by what we saw last night, Rob, because going 20 of 26, and we saw a quarterback play from him last night, and that's what's important. Yes. We know he can run. Now, can you stand in that pocket and deliver the football? And we saw it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Rob, happy holidays, man. Thanks for the call.
Same to you, brother.
You got it. Appreciate it, man. Stay safe. Really appreciate it out there in Minnesota. 610-632-0975 hanging out with us here tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're going until 10 o'clock. Dan Fritz is there as well behind the glass producing. Dan, are you leftovering it at 9:45? Got some stuff?
I can get some stuff.
You got some stuff.
Just like anything else, we can throw some leftovers together.
We've been talking. Yes, that's exactly how it happens. You just throw leftovers together. Oh, we got this left in the fridge. Uh-huh. Warm it up. Let's mix this together. We got a meal. Well, we need some leftovers tonight.
We need to find a microwave.
There you go. We got a microwave. It's clean. No, it's not clean. It's not clean right now. 67-59 Orlando. So the Hawks are trying to come back now late in the third, trying to close the gap. Use all the energy you want. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Philadelphia. That's all. All right, let's go to Jay in West Philly, who is ready to go. What's up, Jay?
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, Jay?
Nothing much, man.
My man.
Wanted to talk about this Jalen Hurts, man. People talking about he made the wrong read on that play to Jalen Reagor. Everybody forgetting he on a job interview every
day. Which one? To Reagor, which one?
Where they say he missed Reagor going down the sideline.
So when we talked to Rasheem earlier, he said that Dan Orlovsky broke it down and felt like Dallas Goedert was the right throw and he on that 22-yard completion and not real.
And I'm going to tell you why it was the right throw. If I'm on a job interview and everything is being dissected, I'm going to throw the ball to Reagan. I did that last game, and he cost me the game.
Yeah, but when you're also on a job interview and you have a quick slant to Gainwell for a short at least completion and maybe even a touchdown, you don't force it to Devontae Smith in the back of the end zone where he's covered, double covered.
I'm going to go with my playmaker.
Not right there. Look, Jay, we can agree on all that. We go with my playmaker, but Gainwell was wide open on the slant. He should have hit him.
Yeah, you're right. He missed. I mean, that's something every quarterback going to do.
I'm just saying, when you said job interview, you take that one too. That looks much better.
Yeah, what about the two drops Goddard had, too?
I've been talking about it all night.
Okay.
That wasn't his fault. That interception wasn't his fault.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
but
all I'm saying is
that one was his fault. He should have thrown it to Gainwell.
All
right. No, hold on. Come on, Jay. You know, look, you do some good things, you do some bad things. He should have hit
exactly.
Gainwell.
That's all I'm saying. That was his best game, and everybody calling and talking about two plays.
No, actually, people tonight, because we brought it up that way, why is everyone complaining throughout the day?
Exactly.
Most people that we've gotten tonight have been in defense of Jalen Hurts because I didn't understand it. That's why I posed the question to everybody. What's going on? Why is everybody coming at him when he had arguably his best game?
And Devon, that's what I was saying because I was chilling, but then I heard a couple callers calling and said, oh, yeah, well,
a couple.
He's a mobile quarterback and he can't read this and read.
That has been a knock. Even the professionals who do it say he's had trouble reading certain things where he's left some plays out there where he probably should have gone in another direction because of his progression or lack thereof.
Exactly. But like I said, he under pressure. Like you said, he got 1 year to prove it. So he's trying to make the perfect play on everything. So he might pull it down. He's trying to make all positive plays. And like you said, when he had the Giants game and he hit Reagor in his hands twice.
Yeah.
And it cost him the game. Next time, I'm going to think twice.
I'm with you.
That's all I'm pointing out. Everybody screaming, Reagor, bum, and this, that, and the third. And all I hear is people, oh, yeah, he should have hit Reagor.
Well, we only had two people say that tonight, that Reagor should have got the ball, at least on this show. I don't know about earlier in the day.
If he had to throw it to him and then he dropped it, then what? They would have said, why he throwing it to him?
They would have, but it was probably if it was the right read, it was the right read. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he was still 20-26, and it was a big game for him, too, under the pressure he came back.
I agree.
He ain't played 3 days, so I think he did good. I think he should get a chance because, like I said, all these other quarterbacks that he asking for, Russell Wilson passes prime. And, like, before Russell Wilson was there, he had the running backs and the defense before they unleashed a total offense to him. So that's what I'm saying. Just help build up around him. And like I said, the kid's still young. They talking about this kid from Pittsburgh and all that stuff. He's still younger than these dudes that they're trying to draft. He's still learning. So, look, I know the kid a hard worker. I see it. I know he's going to be all right, man.
All right.
time.
Let's hope he is. All right, Jay, always, man, if I don't speak to you, happy holidays, man.
All right, same to you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from, always good to hear from my man, Jay. Even when I try to get Jay. He's like, Jay, come on, say it. Just let it go. Especially when we talk hoops. But this one was pretty good. David in North Philly here tonight with us. Dave.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Dave?
Oh, man.
You out there working?
Nah, today, it was a long day. I was all the way up in Scranton, cleaning up this courtroom, coming all the way back, dropping the boxes, 4 or 5 trips. Good pay.
It's a good day. It's a good day.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've been up to the Scranton, but with this case and a couple subpoenas, I've been up there 7 times in the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
So, $150, $107 a pop. Can't beat that.
That's, again, a good day.
Yeah. Man, what are they, 175 yards rushing over, what, 7 games?
For the last 7 games, and not done since 1985 Chicago Bears.
And I still see them trading Miles Sanders in the offseason.
I don't. Listen, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
I mean, I can't really go against it because, I mean, you look around at all of the, you know, whether it's Gurley, Elliott, McCaffrey, with Barkley, all the premier guys, with the exception of the guy that's running crazy for Carson Wentz. And I think what's his first or second year?
Second.
Yeah, he's cheap, so you can do that. The guys that we have, Gainwell, Jordan Howard, they give him $6 million over 3 more seasons. They'll take that deal because nobody else. I mean, nobody wanted them. You can find them. There'll be another second round, a third round pick that can replace Miles. And he'll go someplace else, and he'll be like Carson Wentz. He'll go out there and perform. But I don't know, that the fumbling thing is still kind of concerning. Overall, which also hurts his value too, but he's young. And it's very, one thing about the Eagles, it's very rare that they have a young player that they don't re-sign, that they wind up trading. Other teams do it, but we tend to either get the guys done or they get hurt or something.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised because Tyler and I have been talking about this quite a bit just because of everything that's been going on with Sanders and to your point of all the names that you mentioned, and he's not even on the level of those players that you talked about, and he's a good back in the NFL. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they decide to move on, draft another young player, and somehow decide to use him, the new guy, as the feature, but mixing in Scott, maybe Howard, and certainly Gainwell, who they just picked up, wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, they should have good value for him. I don't know if they'll get a second round value, but you know, third, and you can do something with it.
They'll probably
do that with several players on the roster.
Probably so.
I don't know. I mean, the guys that I would like them to do it with. I mean, you can't move Fletcher. His contract is crazy. What's the deal with Brandon Brooks? He's still hurt.
They won't give us an update. We don't know.
I like him. I mean, he's been hurt, you know, a couple times over. He's a little bit older. My guess is that they'll probably try to rework his deal, keep him in play, and still draft that's somebody in the trenches. They're going to get two offensive linemen and draft somewhere.
But I wonder if they feel good about Jack Driscoll and they decide that he can play the guard position moving forward.
They might, but that dead cap, all those offensive linemen they have between them restructuring and re-signing, all those dead cap monies. I see them saying, hey, if we want to pay them that much money and we can't trade them, we'll keep them. And Driscoll doesn't make any money, so
yeah,
it's in another year or two to get past that dead cap. And then if Brooks gets hurt again, you know, you're one more year away from, you know, being able to get out cap free.
Yeah, nah. I hear you, man. They'll have some stuff to figure out in the offseason. Dave, happy holidays. Be safe out there these next couple of days while you're riding around. Really appreciate it all the time, man. Thanks.
All right. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. All right. We got a final segment for you. Leftovers with Dan Fritz on the other side at 945. And our final chance to talk to you on this evening where we jumped into a whole bunch of bird stuff from last night. Miles Sanders and his silly tweet. Stop booing the players. We put our heart and soul into this. Stop it. Talking too much again. and a little bit of Sixers that were mixed in as well. They take on the Hawks tomorrow. So 610-632-0975 is our final segment. We'll talk to you on the other side. Appreciate it always right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's that time. Getting right to it. There you go. There you go. That's like some lead-in music now. Like we are entering an arena. Or getting ready to come out on the floor or something. And it's going hardcore like that. And then bang!
Now, the first time I really heard that song, I was at the Wells Fargo Center. And the Flyers were coming out to their all-black uniforms.
Yeah, Flyers, yeah.
That place went nuts.
What time of the year was it? Was just a regular?
And, no, it was the holidays, too. It was about this time of year.
Okay.
So, that, I mean, that just really, and I'm like, I've got to find this. Where is this out? Where is this?
I got you.
So.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So, for the first time since week one, they were 1-0. Week two, after that, 1-1. Week three, they lose that game. They're 1-2. For the first time, they're at 500 on the season at 7-7.
So, what did we say from the beginning of the year? What was our count? 6 wins. The majority of people here at the station.
6.5.
We're talking 6.
I said 7-8.
I said seven. I said 6. I can be talked into 7. I can see him sneaking out a door with 8.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and look where they're at.
They're in a good spot, man. They're in a really good spot. Now, we can later on get to the whole point of if they would have won that Giants game, they would be 8-6 instead of 7-7. And you have the 3 games left. Giants again, Washington, Dallas to do it. But this is where we are. This is where they are right now. And all we can do is hope for the best now and hope that they can find a way to sneak into the playoffs, maybe finish at 10-7. There are many people who feel like they can run the table. Obviously, they can run the table. It is a possibility that they will do that. Will they do it is the question, and we don't know that. I think they will beat the Giants, where they will be 8-7. I really believe they're going to beat the Giants. I'll tell you that right now before we do the pregame show on Sunday with Derek Gunn back here in the studio. They are going to beat the Giants next Sunday. After that, of course, I don't know. You're going to be in Washington. It's not going to be easy. Are they still going to be in the mix themselves where it's important for them? You're going to have most likely all of their players back. By the way, where's your health? Sirianni, he's got it. Landon Dickerson, he's got it. Are we now going to see a trickle down like we did see with Washington and other teams where they have been affected and the game might have to be moved again next week because of the same thing that we saw affect the Washington football team? I don't know that answer. But even with that, I think they should beat the New York Giants on Sunday.
How many people are actually worried for Jalen Hurts right now? Because we've been talking about how Sirianni was no hooting and hollering at him. Mm-hmm. Sirianni wakes up this morning.
Not feeling well.
Nope.
Not feeling well. So, yeah, we'll see. But he actually had a really good game. I'm not going to call it a great game. He had a really good game on Tuesday night football, and I thought he did a really nice job. He really did. And he played well. He got them a score before halftime, and it was good to see it. It was really good to see it. Him standing in the pocket, watching that one play where, you know, he did hit Dallas Goedert instead of going to Rager on the other side of the field. He, you know, he stood tall, slid a little bit to his left as the pressure got there, got away, threw it over the top where there was some traffic around there to hit Dallas Goedert. And it was a completion, big completion, to pick up the first down and get them right there in the red zone territory, obviously in Washington territory, and get over there and right around the 23-yard line. And we know what happened. They get into the end zone behind his quarterback sneak, his ninth touchdown of the season. Later on, he gave them a bigger lead, 17-10, with his 10th touchdown of the season, which is now a mark that is his from the quarterback position. 10 touchdowns during the season, breaking Mike Vick's record, which was previously 9, dating back to 2010, I believe it was. Mike Vick had that number. So, yeah, he's coming off of a really good game. So, happy to see that. Nick Sirianni did a nice job yesterday as well with the play calling, in my opinion. We have had some calls already this during the show where many have said that they didn't like what Nick Sirianni did yesterday. I disagree. I thought he did a nice job yesterday against them. And Jason Kelce, I didn't know that Miles Sanders apologized during his postgame presser, apologizing because Jason Kelce did what he was supposed to do, creating a path for Miles Sanders. Follow your blocking. He had the one guy, yes, coming from the left, but on the right, he's pushing the guy away. And then he decides Miles Sanders to go that way. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. He was not happy with Miles Sanders, who didn't follow his block the entire time. But he had a good game as well. The offensive line played well once again. Is Jason Kelce a Hall of Famer? Like a Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer? I know he's an Eagle Hall of Famer. Is he a Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer? He's going to have multiple Pro Bowls and a championship on his record because of the Super Bowl that they won in 17. Is he a Hall of Famer? Hall of Famer? Is that something that we overreact to because he's here and we get to see him? So for us, he's a Hall of Fame candidate. Is he a Hall of Famer? Hall of Famer? I would lean no, but you never know. Never know. By the way, the Hawks is trailing by 10 with 3:20 to play against Orlando in Atlanta. I bring that up because the Sixers host the Atlanta Hawks, who are depleted. No Young, Herter, Lou Williams, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, Clint Capella, all down on the COVID list for the Atlanta Hawks. Sixers play the Hawks tomorrow night back here in Philadelphia. Can be heard 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So 6:50, the pregame coverage. I guess the game is going to be going. Everyone can field their teams, and we'll see what happens. Danny Green now on the list. He enters the league's health and safety protocol, joining Shake Milton, Andre Drummond, and George Niang, who's been on it the longest. Let's see when he does come back, George Niang, to the team and helps out with this squad. So that's where things have been tonight. We've talked a lot about that. We talked about Miles Sanders and his tweet, which was something that we didn't like. And we just move on. By the way, somewhat Derek says, yo, Devon, you forgot about Speed. Don't forget about Speed. Great Keanu movie. When we were talking about Keanu Reeves and John Wick, we mentioned Speed. But if you've heard it and I didn't mention it, we mentioned Speed as probably one of the first ones that I threw out there. Great movie. That's also a click and stick. You stay right there. You see it there. It's on television. You're there. Watch it. You watch it. Have not seen The Matrix. That was the original question. Have I seen The Matrix? I have not. I will catch up, Joe. My apologies.
Make sure you watch them in order.
Yeah, I will. You mean 1, 2, 3, and then
correct.
4. Yeah, I'll watch them. I'll watch them.
Because...
Is it going to pull me in, though? Is it?
I think, you know what? I think it's going to pull you in. Because, like, right now, knowing the storyline as I know it, and I won't say anything because I don't want to spoil anything.
Sure, yeah.
But just the title itself, Resurrections, I'm curious on how they patch the last Matrix to this one and then tell the story. There's already one major character
that you have change, questions about.
Okay. And I wonder how they're going to deliver this.
Okay.
And to me, it was like pretty much the mortar of the other movies.
So it was Carrie Ann Moss, right?
Mm-hmm. Keanu. Who has been throughout. Obviously, Keanu, who has been throughout.
All right. I'm not going to ask about others. I mean, mm-hmm. I know names who were there, like Lawrence Fishburne. I don't know everything to know the background of it all. So I'll just leave it right where it is. Leave it there. I'll catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can have the conversation when I'm all caught up on The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all caught up on John Wick, though.
I got to get caught up on John Wick.
So which one haven't you seen?
I've really only seen like bits and pieces of the first one. Oh, it's kind of like I've seen them. I'm like, okay, let me see if it entices and brings me in.
It will.
Okay.
That will pull you in. I'm telling you.
But I watched not too long ago with my mother one of the best buddy movies that was probably ever out there.
What?
Running Scared.
Oh, of course.
Did we talk about that? I think we did. Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines. Yeah, yep. Yeah. How we were saying that wish they did more movies together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a movie I can watch anytime, anywhere.
I want to say they did two together. It might be more, but I think they've done two.
Only the one Running Scared movie. Other films I'd have to take a look
to. The one Running Scared movie, but
yeah,
I think
that's one
you don't sequel.
I'll have to look it up.
Now you got me thinking because I think they did two. They did Running Scared where they were the buddy cops, of course, in Chicago. And I think there was another one where they were together as well in the flick. But it wasn't a cop movie or anything.
Right.
Now you got me thinking. Yeah, you could look it up now. I'll look it up while we talk about it because...
Well, you want to look it up when I throw out the leftovers?
No, you just have me.
I got you going.
Yeah, you have me curious on this one and somebody's going to get to us first and tell us Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines movies. Let me see. Running Scared is the only one there. And... is that it? I thought they did.
I think that's it.
I thought they did one more thing. I really did. I really thought they did something else. Maybe it was because they were so great in Running Scared. But I thought they did something else together. Huh. All right. I guess that's it. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Wow. That is it. All right. I'm telling you, I really thought that they did something else. Huh. Yeah, I really did. I'm telling you. I really thought.
So you know how these days you get DVDs with like more than one movie in it? Here's a package for you.
Okay.
Running Scared.
Yeah.
City Slickers. And Throw Mama from the Train. Take My Money.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, and remember, Gregory Hines did pass away in 2003. Yeah, so. All right, it's 9:45, man. Let's get ready to get to it, as it's time for the leftovers here tonight on this Wednesday night. As we talked a lot of Birds, a lot of Sixers. Dan, what you got?
Okay, well, we talked before as far as the Pro Bowl being out, and with the rest of the lists out there, the Colts lead the NFL with 7 selections for the Pro Bowl.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Can I guess a couple?
Go for it.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Quentin Nelson. Yeah.
Yes.
Best offensive lineman in the game.
Yep.
DeForest Buckner.
Yep.
Darius Leonard.
Yep.
What's that, 4?
Yep.
All right, give me the other 3.
Ryan Kelly.
Okay.
Kenny Moore.
Ryan Kelly, former Eagle Ryan Kelly? Okay, go ahead.
Luke Rose.
Kenny Moore makes sense. Yeah, Luke Rose, okay. pretty good team.
Yeah, but that's going to be fun.
But even with all of those Pro Bowlers right now, yes, they are in the playoff hunt because of their tremendous win over the Patriots last weekend. Mm-hmm. Right now, they sit 8-6 in the fifth spot, so they're firmly in the mix in the fifth spot in the AFC for the playoffs.
Past that, the Chiefs and the Chargers were next with 6 selections each. Each team will be represented by its quarterbacks. Mahomes, Justin Herbert.
Okay, makes sense.
The Cowboys and the Buccaneers and the 49ers had the most selected players among NFC teams with 5 apiece.
49ers.
I think you can guess who a couple of those guys are.
Debo Samuel, Kittle, and rest defensively.
And two guys that throw a football a lot.
Okay.
So from that, we go over to college playoffs. So now you're making your draft picks. You're wondering what's going on. And might want to know this one first.
What's that?
The college football playoff champion can be crowned via a COVID-related forfeit from a new policy. This policy that was put out earlier this week with the response to the surging Omicron variant. So they pretty much spell things out as far as what will happen. In a nutshell, if one team can't make it and it can't be rescheduled, the game will be declared a no. I'm sorry. If one team can't do it, they can't reschedule. It's a forfeit. If both teams can't make it and they cannot reschedule, then the game will be declared a no contest and the college football playoff national championship will be vacated for this season.
In a championship?
In a championship. If
really?
both teams cannot play, nor can they reschedule, they are ready to call it null and void.
Wow, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Okay.
And especially for those that may get into the betting lines or whatnot, you may want to see if there's something under there as far as the game actually happening. And that I mean sincerely. And
wow.
The final thing.
Interesting.
What will the... the Olympics are coming up, but... In light of, again, and forgive the theme for this, but as far as health and safety protocols around the league, the NHL once again is not sending its players into the Olympics.
Yeah, so that one, of course, we did know about. No Olympic play for them. And I think it's the right call. Got to be safe. Got to make sure everything is good to go for their season, which is the NHL season. That's most important when it all comes down to it in the very end. You want to be able to crown a champion and not have everything that you just talked about in college football. So, right call, in my opinion, by the NHL.
I do agree. And so, I mean, what will the Olympics look like? Well, it's going to look like how it's really supposed to be. Amateur players and some professionals from other leagues to make up the NHL roster. So, it'll be interesting to see what countries put out there on the ice in order to go for the gold. But once again, the second time that the NHL has opted not to send their players to the games. So those are your leftovers.
Those are leftovers for this Wednesday night, December 22nd, here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Great stuff. Dan Fritz, we really appreciate everything that you've done for us here today and tonight. It's been a fun one. I'll be back tomorrow again. Now looks like 6:50 for the pregame as of right now, following Cousins Corner. So I'll have 6:50, the pregame covers leading into the Sixers Hawks. Tom McGinnis on the call. We'll speak for a few minutes during the pregame as well. Then Tom takes over at 7 o'clock. I'll have the postgame. Then we'll go in the post until midnight following Sixers Hawks. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And quickly, one more time, just to check in on the Hawks because they are playing tonight. The Hawks down by 9 with 28 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Orlando looks like they're going to beat the Atlanta Hawks and send them packing here to Philadelphia. Ticked off because they lost, but still short a few men as they are also now down without a few players. So, yeah, man, that's going to be it for us tomorrow. And we'll be back around that time. So we had a great time with you here tonight. Dan, really appreciate it. You back tomorrow?
I am back tomorrow for Cousins Corner. And then I will be in here cutting the highlights for the Sixers game, if said game is to be played.
Yeah, man. And this stinks. It really does. It stinks because we just don't know what's going on. And we don't know what game's going to be.
Same thing the other night as far as with the Flyers.
Right.
And everything was set and ready to go. The Mike Missinelli show is going to have their game in the suite with some of our friends.
The guests.
And then, unfortunately, everything went out.
Yeah, it really did. So everything is fluid. We know. And we also hope that everybody just remains safe out there and do your thing. So we know that you are out there. And be careful as you shop and shop till you drop. Because everybody's trying to get their last minute things. I'm sure all these stores are still open and allowing you to get the things that you need to get before the holiday season. You might see Dan out there because he said he has to go out there one more time. So
it'll be during the day.
Might see Dan out there.
Might see me out there.
Because everybody's taking off the next couple of days.
Don't.
To try to make that run. Dan, great job as always, man. Thanks to all the callers, the listeners, the tweeters. We really appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow. Right now, for Sixers Hawks pregame, we'll talk to you then. Everybody be safe. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.